about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is Mr. T, and I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, you better keep listening to the station. And if you don't, I'm coming after you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hi, I'm neurologist Dr. David Doctor. Over the last 1 month, realizing you love Taylor Swift has become the leading cause of vertigo in adults. That's why now, there's Swiftamine, the fast-acting antihistamine tablet that's pink and bubbly, just like Taylor herself. Medically speaking, Taylor Swift onset vertigo occurs when one of her songs forces your brain to fight your ears. Your frontal lobe says, oof. Taylor Swift, she's always wearing like a 1950s bathing suit. But your ears say, shut up. This is a perfect song.
And now, pick up the phone and get the names and numbers of everyone who's part of this underground railroad of perverts.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's a new month. The 3rd of Blovember.
Hey, okay. Are we allowed to say what's happening 1 week from today on the Kevin and Bean Show?
I don't have that information.
We should
check on that.
Okay, yeah, because it seems like that's the type of thing people would want to know. It's kind of a big deal, right?
Hey, guys, Monday, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. That's how I envisioned it.
All right.
So, yeah, let's look at that. Right. Is our producer back? Maybe he can work on that today. Fantastic.
He doesn't Lisa? Work, but he's here.
Yes.
How are you? How
I'm
was your
good.
Weekend?
It was family-filled. A lot of relatives coming in from out of town.
How does Why? That go? Good family? Bad?
It's good.
Difficult family?
They don't stay with us or anything.
Okay,
just...
Haven't you moved enough that it should be more difficult for them to find
we
you
We do try
point?
To ditch them, but they keep showing up, yeah. It was Saturday and Sunday, different sects of the family showing
Woo!
Up.
That's so, sex with yeah. your family?
Well, they're a pretty handsome bunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
No one can blame you. Kevin, anything exciting for you this weekend?
It was super busy, but other than that, not really, no. I got to tell you, though, I did see the movie Nightcrawler, or
yes.
Crawlers or whatever.
Isn't it excellent?
It's awesome.
Right?
First of all, Jake Gyllenhaal is awesome.
Gyllenhaal, by the way,
second
I heard of the Kevin and Bean Show.
And third of all, the newscaster's name is Lisa Mays.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty funny.
That's the thing.
What are the chances?
What are the chances, indeed?
Interesting.
Did you notice how many actual LA newscasters are in that thing?
I did, yeah.
Like a half a dozen of them.
Yeah.
And everybody's really good in it, too.
It's a great movie.
Oh, I can't wait to see
but
it.
But he's, as good as the movie is, he's better than the movie.
He's incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
He's incredible. Yeah, Jake is. I read the Rolling Stone piece on Kurt Sutter over the weekend. And as many times as we've had Mr. Sutter on, he's the creator of Sons of Anarchy, and he worked on The Shield for many years before that. As many years we've had him on, I found out something about him that I never knew. And that is that in high school, he weighed 400 pounds.
What? No.
Yes.
Wow. High school.
His the profile piece on him suggested that his father left early, his mother was an alcoholic, and he spent his young years in the basement by himself watching TV and eating. And he was in high school and weighed 400 pounds and realized he couldn't get laid if he weighed 400 pounds. And that was the motivation that he needed to lose the weight. And it said in the Rolling Stone piece that he lost 200 pounds in a year.
Holy moly.
Is that possible?
It doesn't seem. I mean, that's pretty rapid.
Cut off an arm and a leg?
They also said that he's had multiple surgeries throughout the years to remove the skin that was left from behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was so surprised by that. You don't look at him and ever imagine that he was fat, right?
Yeah, and that's extra. That's not just heavy. That's
yeah.
obese.
Yeah, that's wow. rare right there. And I saw that story and it really surprised me. And then I saw this story out of Alabama where this guy was arrested after robbing 4 Subway sandwich shops. 18 years old Zachary Torrance arrested 4 stores. Another customer saw the wanted posters around town and on TV and recognized him shopping at Walmart and called 911 and said, hey, the guy you're looking for, he's here at Walmart. So they went and they arrested him. And sure enough, he was the guy who did it. They had him all over surveillance video, 4 different stores. And he said the reason he did it was because he had tried the Jared diet from Subway and it didn't work for him. And he wanted to get his money back. All that money I wasted on sandwiches, he said. I wanted to get mine back. unfortunately, in this article, it doesn't say how much he weighs. You can't tell from the mugshot. I'd love to know how long he was on the diet and how much he did or didn't lose.
Fantastic.
Jared went from 425 pounds down to 180 pounds on the Subway diet, and I guess he thought this is what he was going to do as well.
But,
so,
but do we believe that that was entirely on the Subway diet, though?
With Jared, I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah, why not? He ate two low-fat sandwiches a day, and that's all he ate. Anyone would lose weight on that.
Yeah, that's true. And baked chips.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, baked chips. Okay.
I mean, you got to have your chips.
But it's just, I saw those both of those stories over the weekend. I thought it was so interesting that Kurt Sutter lost 200 pounds and this guy gave up on the diet and started robbing Subways because he wasn't losing it fast enough and blamed Jared for it. So anyway, great great mugshot too. And he's got to come up with a better story to tell the guys on the inside, right?
Oh, yeah. You don't tell them that. That's robbing a Subway. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Yeah, hi. I'm a Raiders fan. What do wings taste like?
Close, though, Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Close.
Absolutely.
Seattle tried to give it back to them.
I mean, look, that like so many games, it could have gone either way. Absolutely.
Comedian Kevin Nealon will be on the program today.
Yeah.
Love Kevin.
Excited about that. We have my wife's going to come in and talk about our charity. It's that time of year again.
Okay.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ. From the Millers, we have Sean Hayes on the program today. Andrew Siciliano talking all things NFL. And can we say the who and the where? No, we can say the who, but not the where?
Yes, we can say the who, but not the where.
All right. Foo Fighter tickets. That's it.
That's all what right,
we're gonna, Secret K-Rock show.
Secret K-Rock show. We're going to give you those tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat Night. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Sean Hayes will join us. And don't forget, giving out your first pair of passes for a Secret K-Rock show with Foo Fighters coming up as well. I know, right? They're your favorite, Ralph.
They are my favorites.
Because they're the best.
That's why.
It's Monday morning. Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because I only like things are the best. My things are best.
Mm.
Your things are worse.
Not all of them.
And I just don't mean you. I mean everybody.
Oh, okay.
I'm right and they're wrong. Like, for example, remember my love, love, love for the TV series Magic City? Remember
Magic City?
Yes.
It was on Stars. And it was the story of a guy who owned a hotel in the late 50s, early 60s, and he was all mobbed up in Miami and had to do with the Cubans and the politics and the mob. And it was just, I loved that show. Jeffrey Dean Morgan was the star. Yeah.
This is the show that you and Beer Mug bonded over.
Oh, yes. It was the only thing I ever liked about Beer Mug.
Mug's favorite show.
We used to talk about Magic City every week.
Sounds like a terrible theme.
Olga Kurylenko, Danny Houston. It's Ben Diamond, the Butcher.
Danny Houston was great.
Oh, Kelly Lynch. Loved this show. Then they canceled it. And I swore that I would never rest until the rest of the episodes of Magic City were shown on television. Actually, I never swore that. But I did get good news this weekend when they announced they're making Magic City the feature film.
Woo! Yep, there it is.
They're
going to carry the story on in a big screen version. Well, all the cast is returning. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Olga Kurylenko, Danny Houston, Kelly Lynch, along with Bruce Willis and Bill Murray.
Wow.
In the cast.
Wow. That's a real movie.
It's a real, real movie. The movie will be set in 1962 after the Cuban Revolution. And it's just, oh, boy, I cannot wait to see that.
That's not some DVD cash grab. That's making a movie.
On the big screen. Because that's what winners do. So I got Magic City, the movie, made. Turns out it's pretty easy to take your favorite TV show if it gets canceled and just make more things happen with it.
Is it?
Yeah. Huh. Turns out it's easy.
What was your role in that exactly?
I applied some pressure.
Oh.
He wished upon a star.
Speaking of movies, it is Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Kevin wasn't the only one who went to see Nightcrawler. It was number one at the box office with a little over $10 million in its debut weekend.
That's absurd. That movie deserves so much more.
Right behind it was Ouija. Came in at number two with about $10 million as well. Then Fury, Gone Girl, and The Book of Life, top five at the box office. John Wick was sixth. St. Vincent was Speaking of Bill Murray, his new film was 7th, Alexander and the 10th, blah, 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 was 8th. Judge, 9th, and Dracula Untold. Ah, bleh. Came in at number 10. Remember when everybody said, oh, well, we'll be flying back and forth to the moon. Oh, Virgin Atlantic is just going to take us. It'll be like getting on a plane.
Yep.
Just like going into space will be just like getting on a plane. Stop it, people. It's dangerous. People die at the fair. People die at the fair.
That's true. And birds are dying as well.
And they did this weekend at the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 crashed Friday morning in the Mojave Desert. Here's the thing about that that ties into television and show business. NBC has a reality show called Space Race that is built around the building and the success of Spaceship 2.
The one that
crashed in the
desert.
Wow. Yeah, this does not bode well for that series.
That ship that went down, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, was the actual passenger ship that the celebrities and everybody
yes.
were going to be, Leonardo DiCaprio
yes.
and all those people were going to be piling onto for Flight 1.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Let's all spend a lot of money. We'll be the first people to take the trip into space. People die at the fair. So now the show Space Race now is up, as you can imagine, in the air. How do you have a happy ending to this story when before they even are able to launch their Virgin trip, if you will, that it crashed in the desert?
Apparently, change the title to Death Race?
Maybe they should.
Death well, ship. Richard Branson, I feel like for 7 years has been telling us we're a year and a half out.
Yeah. Mark Burnett is the producer of that show, by the way. Branson has said, we're going to learn from what went wrong and then move forward together. Space is hard, but worth it. We'll persevere and move forward together until everyone dies.
That pilot, I think, was only 39. They got killed in the crash.
It was horrible.
By the way, one of the pilots survived.
Yeah, that's bailed out.
That's crazy.
And the Discovery Channel, speaking of death and our fascination with it, did very well over the weekend as Nick Wallenda did his two tightrope walks in Chicago. One was Nick crossing the Chicago River between two skyscrapers. not Nick Wallenda. Not our friend Nick. On a 19-degree incline, which took about 6.5 minutes for him to walk. And then he walked between two Marina City skyscrapers blindfolded. That took about a minute. Discovery Channel said they did use a 10-second delay in case, of course, he got shot by a drive-by. It is Chicago. Or fell, I guess.
One or the other.
Praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. Yes, I do.
There's our boy Nick.
Yes, I do. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Okay.
That was Nick having sex after the event.
Do you think he's actually talking to the Lord or himself?
Hell yeah, he's talking to the Lord.
I'm not sure.
Who's holding him up? He was given, after the event, two awards from Guinness, two world records, one for the highest incline tightrope walk and the other for highest blindfold tightrope walk. So, Beer Mug, I think you lost those records.
Aww.
No, you don't get those anymore.
I was thinking about Mr. Wallenda.
Of course.
His latest walk. Mm-hmm. Is it awesome what he did, or is it stupid and indefensible?
Wow. It's going to be somewhere in between?
I just find it not fascinating at all.
It's a remarkable achievement.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To be able to do that, to walk on a wire less than an inch wide.
Yeah, the width of a penny, they say.
And to be able to...
No harness,
control your body. Control your body enough to, in order to do that. It's a phenomenal achievement.
Okay. It's hard to respect somebody, in my mind, though. It's hard to respect somebody who would do that when he's got, you know, his kids standing on the other side watching him.
I think there's a lot of achievements that are stupid. No, a lot of times the hardest achievements, you're putting yourself at risk. And a lot of people who have done great things, have had families and stuff, they would have been... you know, sad if he had gone.
I guess you could argue everyone who's ever gone into space has taken the same risk, right?
Or the people in the spaceship too, intergalactic,
right? I don't know. Just gave a lot of thought to what his life choice is.
Look, I think there are sometimes you have to choose safety or achievement, and most of us would choose safety. That's why we're not walking on tightropes.
That's right.
We're going into space.
But the achievement is also not something most of us have any interest in.
Well, you know most what I mean? Achievements like, are like that.
I don't know. Should I
Do you
want to
go
to
space? Do you want to walk on the moon?
No, but that's different than walking on a wire between two buildings.
How so?
You know what I mean? Well, one is you're going into space. That's a huge accomplishment for mankind.
But you're saying you
walking
don't, you had
between
no interest
the water,
in
who
it?
Gives a crap?
You had no interest. A lot of people don't give a crap about space travel.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just because you have no personal interest in the achievement doesn't necessarily lessen the achievement.
All right. Good enough.
I mean, you may not be a big reader of novels or something, but if someone writes a great novel that wins a Pulitzer or something, just because you're not interested in it doesn't lessen their achievement in any way. Just saying, we're not all basing our... We can't base someone's success on how interested we are in what they do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, but I thought Bean brought the topic up of what we thought of it.
But I think he was saying because of the risk that he's putting to himself and to his family, does that lessen the achievement? Not do we care or not. Not everything boils down to how much do I care personally, me.
I don't care about this conversation.
I know
much.
You do. That is your barometer, is how much do I care. I'm sorry. I meant to set something on fire or fart to keep you engaged.
Thank you.
If he had farted on the wire, though, that would have been awesome, great. Right?
Kevin never would stop watching that tape on a loop.
And he lit it on fire while he did it.
Yep.
That's an accomplishment.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 62 years old today. Phil Simms, former NFL quarterback, now TV broadcaster, 60 years old today. Dennis Miller turned 61. Rise Against singer, guitarist, Tim McElrath. 36 years old. Colin Kaepernick. Ooh, dropsy. Ooh. Ooh, slippery
That's
hands.
Tough way to lose a game.
27 years old today. And Kendall Jenner from the Kardashian family is 19. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Armstrong Garden Center's experts recommend using organic fertilizers. These fertilizers slowly release nutrients into the soil at a natural rate that matches a plant's needs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Plants need less water when fed organically.
Tell
That's a good
how.
Thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
For more
That's
water-wise
amazing.
Garden tips, you should visit your neighborhood Armstrong Garden Centers. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
At 6:22.
A lot of listeners who come to our show for gardening tips are very happy right now, so let's not mock Lisa.
I'm thrilled.
Sean Hayes joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the CBS show The Millers. Right now, Harvey Levin from TMZ on the line. Hey, Harvey.
I guess I'm supplying the fertilizer, huh?
Yeah, well, we didn't want to say it like that, but yes,
as a matter of fact. That can be lucrative, Harvey.
So, Harvey, what's going on with our favorite family from Central Georgia?
This is just the craziest story. I mean, when you really just step back and look at what Mama June did and is for what she's doing, it's just, it's breathtaking. But TLC is not going to pay her in full. They're pissed. They're pissed because it derailed the show. They're pissed because it's hurt a lot of people on the cast, including her own family. So they're going to pay everybody in full but her. And we're not hearing exactly how much is being withheld, but they are going to withhold some money almost as a penalty. It's interesting that they're still going to pay her something. It's weird, but they will not pay her the full thing for the unaired season.
They must have to. I'm sure they don't want to give her anything. But isn't it fascinating that this family that we looked at and we said, wow, these people might be the worst of the worst, can do something this surprising?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna accept some blame in this myself. I really looked at them at the beginning, and I just said, what a loving family. And that it's just different than Hollywood, and they really seem to love each other and everything else. And I'm sure that they do, but what a horrible mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what a horrible, horrible mother.
And I'm so surprised, and I thought this last week when we talked, Harvey, that once it was revealed that she was dating this child molester and it got out and the show got canceled and the whole world turned against her, I was really surprised that she did not break it off and apologize and try to win everything back. I can't believe she's still going out with this dude.
Yeah, I mean, look, she's, for whatever is going on, she's obsessed with this guy. And it sounds to me like she never let it go, even after he went to prison, because she kept pictures him in the house, which actually was a whole source of conflict with Sugar Bear. That he, you know, he, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but when you think about it, this Mark McDaniel is the Southern equivalent, or at least that equivalent, of Camilla Parker Bowles. That he never, that relationship always had three people.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, legally speaking, can the state come in and take Honey Boo Boo out of that house?
No, it doesn't sound like
it's a safe environment for her.
Well, here's the thing. Mark McDaniel hasn't done anything wrong as far as the authorities know. They checked into it. He is allowed to be around anybody except for Anna, the girl he molested. And she wants to have nothing to do with June or McDaniel, so she's kind of out of the picture.
By the way, those of you not playing along at home, you're not watching the show or whatever, this other girl that the guy molested is Mama June's daughter as well.
Yes,
Honey Boo Boo's sister.
Who was 8 years old at the time, and Honey Boo Boo is 9.
Unbelievable.
So it should scare you, but he is allowed to be around Honey Boo Boo. He's allowed to be at the house. He is a registered sex offender, but there's nothing prohibiting him from being in proximity. Now, if he does anything, they can swoop in. But right now, what we're hearing is there's absolutely nothing that can be done.
Now, you also, this is Harvey Levin on TMZ.com right now that we're speaking with here on the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday morning. You also did a story over the weekend about how Uncle Poodle might want to step in and try to get custody of Honey Boo Boo if June doesn't stop seeing this dude, right?
None of those words are real.
Uncle Poodle.
Why is he Uncle Poodle?
Uncle Poodle. Uncle Poodle is, you know, he says that he'll go in for custody. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know, the problem is that Sugar Bear,
and,
you know, at a point, you start doing this and you start laughing to yourself. Sugar Bear is in no position to get custody because he doesn't have a place to live. He's staying with a friend right now. He doesn't really have any money. He needed the money from TLC because what happened was June was hoarding all the money and then doling out allowances to everybody. So Poodle is cash strapped. So he doesn't have the ability to do it, and Sugar Bear.
Is it possible that of the whole group, Honey Boo Boo is the best?
Wow!
Right? Is that possible?
You just took my breath away. It's possible? Wow!
Because that's scary.
It's such a screwed up mess. It is really bad.
Where do you think 6 months from now these people will be?
I fear to think. This does not seem like it's going to end well.
No.
And Honey Boo Boo, it's just, she came into the office once with June to do TMZ Live, and it was like a tornado. It was like a tornado with chicken McNuggets all around.
Yeah. And sauce.
I remember that trip to Hollywood because I think she was also on Jimmy Kimmel's show, and she runs the family, it seemed like, at the time. I mean, she just talked whenever she wanted, and she was just so, you know, would not listen to her mother. I mean, it was really kind of ugly.
Well, yeah, and you know, a lot of people thought, well, it's cute on a level. It's just not cute anymore.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. All right, listen, Harvey, I know you got to get to your meeting. We appreciate you keeping us updated on this. Please go to TMZ.com. By the way, there's a great Suge Knight story up there. There's an amazing story about Halle Berry and her love triangle, how that's gone wrong. Rock and roll suicide and so much more. You can get all these stories at TMZ.com. Look for the TMZ television shows of your choice on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports. There's Monday through Friday at 5 on the Reels channel. Harvey, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week, sir.
You too, guys.
I don't know what that was about.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure that fits with any song.
Sound like you got a raccoon in a trap there is what it sounded like. Hey, speaking of Foo Fighters, just announced a secret K-Rock show with Foo Fighters. We're not allowed to tell you where or when, but we can tell you can win your way in. We have tickets for you a couple of different times this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Also, Andrew Siciliano to talk the NFL weekend number 9. And our friend Kevin Nealon's going to be joining us later on. Sean Hayes on the phone right now. Of course, we're talking about the Millers Monday nights, 8:30 on CBS, right after 2 Broke Girls. Hey, Sean Hayes.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Well, here's the thing. I'm an enormous Foo Fighters fan.
Nope. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to win the tickets.
I feel like I'm a Foo Fighters fan around noon or 1.
Uh-huh.
But 6:30 in the morning or so. I don't know.
Not so
much. Tough. Yeah, it's tough. We often joke, Sean, because we do this morning show. We imagine what it's like, what's on the radio when people's alarms go off. And there are some songs that we play and some things that we do that maybe are not the things you want to hear at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but God bless you.
I would argue that song wakes you up better than most we play.
You know what? Argument won by you.
There you go.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
So, Sean, we have many things we want to talk to you about. First of all, congratulations on joining The Millers. Super fun show. And I have to tell you, I don't think CBS is driving the point home enough what a great cast you have, because not only are you on it, but Will Arnett, the magnificent Margot Martindale is on it. J.B. Smoove is on the show. You have great guest stars. I mean, this is a little hidden gem in the CBS Monday Night lineup.
Yes, it's better to be a hidden gem than something shoved in your face and say, watch this, you know, all the time. So no complaints here. I think they're handling the show famously and wonderfully. And Margot Martindale, who doesn't want to work with her? I get to work with her every week.
She's incredible. And for those of us that love The Americans, you just can't believe it's the same woman. She's so good.
She's amazing and an awesome human being.
She's a badass. A badass on The Americans. That's all I kept thinking. She's going to kill somebody.
Well, sometimes I fear for my own life on The Millers.
I was fascinated to see your interview that you did the other day with your good friend Will Arnett. You were on Entertainment Tonight, I think. And you were talking about how you guys vacationed together in Istanbul, Turkey. Now, I don't know anyone who's ever been to Istanbul, although I hear it is one of the most magnificent cities in the world. Tell me about it.
Well, he didn't tell me, you know, because it started out with, like, do you want to have dinner? I was like, yeah, let's meet up somewhere. And then, like, the phone rang 20 minutes later. He's like, let's go to Istanbul. I'm like, what?
Who says
and
that?
Then I what thought kind about of... it. I'm like, why not? Right?
Sure. Right.
It's there. You might as well just go. And so, we went there, and I didn't know it was, like, the third largest city or 10th largest city in the world or something like that. And I'm like, got off the plane. It was just... It's like China. I was like, we could have just gone to New York or something. But that's where we went. And,
you didn't fly in just for dinner, though.
No.
Okay.
No, that would be too insane.
Okay.
No, we went to go see the sights and everything. It was amazing.
What types of things do you see there? I mean, again, I feel so ignorant here because Istanbul is just one of those mysterious cities in the East. You know, I just don't know anything about it. I mean, is it mostly religious buildings that you see, or do they have some? Yeah, that's it, mostly.
Yeah, the Blue Mosque, the Hagia Sophia, you know, all those, yes, exactly, religious places, the amazing cistern where they carve Medusa's head into the thing, and it's really cool, and it's, you know, I learned a lot about all of that, and I learned a lot about I'm just as ignorant, I was so stupid, I didn't know that Istanbul was the capital, at one point, was the capital of the entire European Empire, you know?
Yeah, world, I mean, basically. It was the most important city in the world for a long time.
And
is it super safe for Americans?
That's what I was worried about. I didn't know anything because I'm, again, a stupid American. And but they said, yeah, and so I was like, let's do it. Because, you know, the Middle East loves the gays. So I'm like, let's go.
That's the one thing we know about the Middle East. So when you're over there, and actually this is a question for all over the world, because I know your show, you know, your previous shows and this show, The Millers, air all over the world. Do you get recognized for your TV work even when you go to a place like Istanbul?
You know, mostly wherever there's like a tourist kind of attraction of some kind in the city, you don't get noticed as much because everybody's looking at everything but the people, you know?
Right.
So, but then, you know, the second you sit down for lunch, then things start to happen. But
yeah, I can just imagine, like, you're in the Philippines or something, and you're trying to have a meal, and everybody's coming up to you going, oh, Will and Grace. I mean, it must be so bizarre for you.
Yeah. But I don't hang out in the Philippines.
Okay. What's this transition? We're talking to Sean Hayes about The Millers. Tell us about working with Will Arnett.
Yeah, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with him or not, but he's one of the funniest.
Yes, agreed.
So, yeah, funniest people ever. I mean, the wittiest, so clever, so fast, and he makes me literally belly laugh every single day at some point.
Does everybody look at him and say, Will, stop it. For God's sakes, we got to get through a scene.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, but in the most glorious way. I mean, he makes going to work really, really fun and actually look forward to it. So, and that's a blessing.
The Millers airs Monday nights at 8:30, right after Two Broke Girls on CBS. And tonight is the episode where our old friend Meta World Peace stops by. Have you had much experience trying to coax acting out of athletes before, Sean?
Yeah.
If you get my meaning.
I work with all NBA.
How was Meta?
Yeah, he was fantastic. He was really, really funny, and he's actually a really sweet, down-to-earth, normal, level-headed, wonderful guy. And his daughter was on the show with us.
Oh, that's his real daughter that I saw in the preview? That's really her, huh?
That's really her, yeah. They're both very, very sweet, and he was very professional.
Well, we've had Meta in before, you know, because he does stand-up, too. So he definitely is willing to put himself out there and try anything.
Wait, Meta World Peace does stand-up?
Yes, he does,
yes.
John.
Yes, he does.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he does.
Well, that's got to be a hot ticket.
Let me play a clip from The Millers. We're trying to bring this back, playing television show clips on the radio, Shad. You're going to love this one because
from the 50s?
You're bringing it back
to the 1950s?
Yep, exactly, yes. I know that this was one of the toughest scenes you've ever had to shoot in your long TV career, but I'm going to play the clip of you from your first episode a couple of weeks ago. Billy Eichner comes by. He's got the pug that you share. You guys are broken up now. He's getting ready to leave, and you're going to tell him off as he walks out, except you're going to do it in the other language you speak besides English, Pig Latin. Listen up.
Opstay! If you utter one more word in Pig Latin to me, I swear up way. I way as way aired skay ute ex day up way or fay itself may. I fay at me any more way. Oh nay. I am not following any of this. Maybe I am dumb.
Was that unbelievably difficult to memorize, Sean?
It actually really was. Really hard. So I just walked around my house all weekend. I was just like, if we it's really hard.
Was there somebody on the side that was like watching out for the language? Or, no, it's upsway. Start again.
Yeah, totally. But you know, I didn't think of the words. I just thought of. I didn't know what I was saying.
Right.
I knew what it meant, but I knew I just had to say those words, whatever they meant.
Very clever. Very clever. The Millers airs Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. Sean. Super fun to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Likewise, always. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
It is Monday morning. That's the bad news. The good news is Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Nightcrawler did very well for itself in its debut. Made a little over $10 million. Good enough to make it number one. Not bad for a movie about worms. I'm surprised.
It's not about worms.
Ouija board did very well. $10 million made that number two at the box office. Then Fury, Gone Girl, and The Book of Life were your top five movies at the box office. John Wick, the St. Vincent film, stars Bill Murray. Fascinating article, by the way. You can find it online of the director of St. Vincent talking about what the process is like of getting Bill Murray to star in your film.
Oh, that would be great. Where is it?
Very entertaining. On the internet.
Internets.
Yes.
Internets.
Okay. I suggest you go to www.internet.com and then just type in Bill Murray, St. Vincent, and that story should come up. But, you know, it's the age-old story. He has no direct direct contact.
I always find that fascinating.
He has no agent, no manager.
No manager, yeah.
He's got a 1-800 number, and you call that number and you leave a message for him. And then if he gets back to you, he gets back to you. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. And this guy left several messages for him. And then he said, I started leaving messages like every 2 weeks because I didn't want to be an a-hole, but I wasn't getting any answer back one way or the other. So I had contact with his attorney. And I said, can you ask Bill what he thinks? You know, should we even think about moving forward? And the attorney says, what number do you have? He said, I got this 1-800 number. He goes, yeah, that's the same number I have. That's how I get a hold of Bill Murray.
Wow.
So he said, that's just the case. So then Murray calls him up and says, yeah, I'd like to talk about the script. Can you meet me in New York? And the guy was filming a commercial in Los Angeles at the time. He's like, when? He's like, I don't know, lunch? No, I can't just go there today. He goes, how about Friday? No, I can't be there Friday. I said, I'll be in Cannes on Friday. Can you meet me in Cannes in France on Friday? He's like, no, Bill, I can't do that.
Wow.
So we get a text in the middle of the night. I'm going to be at LAX at the baggage claim number 4. Can you meet me at LAX? He just went down there, picked Bill Murray up. They went to like some golf course and they just had the conversation.
That's insanity.
It reads like a farce. It reads like a Bill Murray movie.
until he finally says, yeah, okay, let's do this movie together.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Very entertaining read. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day was eighth at the box office. The Judge and Dracula Untold. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. Well, the seal has been broken, and now the TV shows are being canceled fast and furiously. Fox and their $50 million reality show Utopia have parted ways.
I hope they don't tell the people who are on the show, by the way.
The year-long television experiment has been canceled. So we won't learn how they make a new society. Because no one cared.
Did you guys watch even 1 minute of that?
Nope. No.
I didn't either.
It was like watching security camera footage. There were no camera people. They just had just put cameras around a thing and they would just film people. It wasn't a TV show. Stop it, Fox. Why don't they ask me these? Why don't they call me up and say, hey, this is our idea. We're going to do this. We're going to spend $50 million on this. And I would tell them, don't do that.
We always like to picture the boardroom and they toss out the idea and everybody seems happy with it. And we always wonder why one guy doesn't raise his hand and go, how about no?
And this isn't even, I'm not interested in the subject matter. This is, it's television. You can't nail a camera to a wall and just shoot with that anymore. It just doesn't work. We live in an IMAX 3D, high D, HD world where you need to move the camera at least. And then NBC's two lowest-rated series have also gotten the axe. A to Z, the romantic comedy.
That was a show?
It was.
Okay. Lisa, you going to miss it?
No, I won't miss it, although I did see it.
Oh, of course. You know, I felt bad because it starred the guy who was on Mad Men, who played Michael Ginsburg on Mad Men, the actor. His name escapes
me. Oh, yeah, we like him.
But he was really talented and really sort of charming, and I was glad to see him get his own series. But this was not the hit. I'm sure that Ben Feldman, that's his name, was looking for. And also, as expected, it finally happened. Bad Judge. Yes, Bad Judge, starring Kate Walsh. As a tough, party-loving judge, has been canceled.
May I say, I never bothered.
Wow. Oh, please, you
it
bothered.
Looked like
you
crap.
Watched.
I did not.
Lisa drew a line in the
yes,
sand,
I
Ralph.
Did.
That's no.
That's the only show below
Bad
it.
Bad Judge was made for Lisa
no,
May. When
it
they
was
were
not.
Filming, they said, well, at least we know Lisa May will watch this.
It looks so stupid.
Boy, when you've lost Lisa, man, you've lost America.
They should talk to me to begin with.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Oh, sounds
well,
like it.
There'd be a lot of stuff on television if they talk to you.
I
guys
have
in a carpool?
Unerring
yes, I would like to watch that. Please put that show on.
That was a good show.
It was not.
I love that show.
And it looks like Bob Dylan's 36th studio album will be released in 2015.
Yes.
According to Billboard.com, it looks like it will be, wait for it, a collection of covers of all Frank Sinatra songs.
He's gone
Bob
bye-bye.
Dylan sings Sinatra will be
well,
his
remember, he
album.
Did a Christmas album a few years ago, too. He's just running out of steam, I think.
Sinatra did it pretty well,
did a pretty
right?
good job with that right. song.
With all
those
of his songs.
Yes, all those songs.
I can't
he was known as one
wait.
Of the best singers in pop music. Bob Dylan known as one of the worst singers in pop music.
But at least he's old and bad now.
So, yeah. Now if they'll just release a collection of Frank Sinatra singing Bob Dylan songs, now that's an album I would buy. All along the Watchtower. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 62 years old today. Phil Simms turns 60. Dennis Miller is 61. San Francisco 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick is 27. Oops!
And what a way to lose.
And Kendall Jenner of the Kardashian family. She, of course, and her sister, Chlamydia, are the youngest members of the show over there on Keeping Up With the...
Isn't she just Kendall now? Isn't that what we learned? She's one name only.
That's right. She is now just Kendall.
Just Kendall.
And the other one's just Chlamydia.
I'm not positive that's accurate.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
Come on, come on.
Thank you,
Dean. I mean, right?
Yes.
Wow. It is post-Halloween.
It is that time.
Now. And that means it is not only Christmas right around the corner, not only do we have Miss Double D to look forward to and the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas to look forward to, but once again, we welcome Kevin's beautiful wife, Melissa, into the studio to talk about the 26th second annual Adopt a Family Holiday Program with Friends and Helpers. 22 years, Melissa?
Can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it.
I know, and it started in our living room.
Yeah.
And now I have six locations where you can all come and help out.
What is the Adopt a Family Holiday Program? Let's talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what Friends and Helpers are for people who maybe are not up to speed.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, as always. I appreciate it. Friends and Helpers basically helps victims of abuse. And we have so many people to help this year, as always. And we are a nonprofit. 100% of what we do goes to the cause. We help women and children who are victims of abuse. We have families. And sadly, we have hundreds and hundreds of children who have just been left and abandoned in group homes, from infants to 17 years old. So we have any and everything you can imagine. We have all kinds of different programs. You can adopt a family. You can adopt a stocking. You can give gift cards. We have all kinds of ways that you can help.
When you adopt a family, let me just butt in and say, this is, we go to the shelters and they literally hand a piece of paper to the victims of domestic abuse and they say, what is it that you would like for Christmas? And you get that piece of paper so you know that you're help, that you're giving somebody exactly what they want for Christmas.
Yeah. Like, let me give you an example. We spent the last 7 weeks going and meeting with the shelters, the centers, the different families to find out. And one little 8-year-old girl who is living alone in a group home who's been abandoned, the biggest thing she could imagine was Lee press-on nails. That's the greatest thing she could think of for herself, to give you an idea of what that is for somebody. Yeah. And we make stockings, we make bags of necessities with just your basic shampoos, toothbrushes, conditioners, things like that. So when you do that, you are providing that holiday for that person. And it's a really big deal. It's direct one-on-one response. But we can't do this by ourselves. And that's why, you know, we appreciate being able to come here and talk about it. There's so many people in need. And we know there's a lot of people out there with their own problems and their own needs. So any way that you can help is so vital. And
yeah, you make it really easy.
We make it super easy. It's,
well, there's lots of different ways that people get involved. I mean, we have – and all the information, by the way, is up at the website, which is friendsandhelpers.org. You can find out where you can drop off locations all over town where you can drop items off. You can find out how you can be involved to the invited to the gift wrapping party if you want to be doing that. All the adoptive programs are on there. How many people did you help last year? Do you remember, Melissa?
We helped over 10,000 last year.
What?
Man,
what?
This has grown.
Which has grown tremendously. And which is why Kevin and our kids will be in need of food, by the way, by the end of December. But that's okay, because you know what? We can all take a minute for somebody else. No matter, even if you don't are interested in what we do, do something for somebody else. I always want to make sure I tell you that, because this is our passion. It might not be yours, so feel free to do something else. Just do something, because everybody can help somebody in some other way. And that's really important to know.
And in terms of donated items, I mean, there are lots of different things that people can contribute. But it seems like this year you're asking for gift cards more than I've seen in the past.
You know why? That's a really good thing to bring up, Bean. The reason we're asking for that is we have a lot of teenagers, and they ask for gift cards. And the reason that they do that is a gift card allows them an experience. It gives them a reason to go to a mall, or maybe go to a movie, or go out to dinner with their friends and have more normality, which is so important when we're trying to get these kids back into the regular life system. And that's one of the reasons we're doing something kind of different this year, with a little online auction to raise some extra money. You know, we have to raise money. Sadly, that's how the whole world works, which is why we're giving you guys away.
Yeah,
this
is a little odd. This is the first time we've ever done this. But
did I know about this?
Given
away.
We didn't tell you. You can have Lisa May.
How
is there a time
much?
Limit? Or?
No, we're giving.
I have my checkbook out. How much?
Just, you know what? Just keep writing, Bean.
Another zero. You got it.
Thank you.
We're auctioning off a chance to come down to the Kevin and Bean Show,
which we've never ever done before.
And you know, watch from the other room, and we'll say
or
hi.
Or host, right? How about how much to host?
You can take my position. Fine.
No, you'll never notice
you get
the
breakfast?
Difference.
People seem
to want this.
Yeah.
We don't know why.
No, you'll be very disappointed. But anyway.
Nothing is more boring than seeing a radio show. Nothing.
Let me say this to you. It's 100% a write-off.
Yep.
You get breakfast. You can take Kevin for the afternoon if you like.
Sure.
I can really only give Kevin away. Anybody else I can't do anything with.
But we'll all come meet you. You can take pictures.
You can
It's actually kind of fun.
It's you and two friends. You can start bidding on it now. It's a complete write-off. It's fun. You'll get to come to K-Rock. It's very exciting here. you can meet Charles.
Did I sell that?
You get to meet Charles out in front.
Right.
Yeah. Dave?
Mm.
Yeah, now we're going backwards. I'm not sure that's
okay. We'll keep your mug away from you.
We're probably not. That.
You're not selling it. I always want to bring this up, though, as well, and that is that for charities, the IRS says that you have to give away 5%.
Yes.
5.
So of you can all have the money you raise, you only have to give 5%
to the people who you're
who
trying
are in need.
To. So you can use 95% of the money you raise for overhead and for salaries.
Quote unquote administrative costs.
Yeah, whatever. So Melissa actually built this foundation with some help of some great friends, and it is built so that if you give $100, $100 will go to the people that need it. So it's that's what we mean when we say 100%. I mean, it really is. It's sort of difficult to pull off, but it's been built that way so that it can happen.
Yeah. So just go to the website, you guys, and just give, adopt stockings, email us. We have people, we'll give you families. Just donate money and everything so that I can get some sleep and we can get everybody adopted and it'll be great. By the way, I watched everything on HBO. If you have questions, email me about that. I've been watching that.
I don't know that you need more conversation.
I got it all
TV.
Done. I know, poor Kevin.
There's a million ways to give.
Yes.
There's any level that you can afford. If you can be super generous, that's great. If you have $25, you can do that.
If you want to give a raffle prize, that's great. If you have some way that you can help. If maybe you're the guy who passes out all the toothbrushes at the dentist. Whatever you do, there's some way you can help us. That's great. We are not a snooty charity. We're grateful for anything. We just really want to make sure that all these people have a nice holiday. And, that, you know, 1 in 4 people is food insufficient, and 1 in 3 people are abused now. Sadly, that statistic is going up. It's not going down. I really want to come here 1 year and just wish you all a happy holiday and not have to bother you.
The website, again, is the easiest way to just get all this information in one place, and it's friendsandhelpers.org. What has your experience been with the K-Rock listeners over the years, Melissa, and all the years you've been coming in here?
I will tell you this. The K-Rock listeners are fantastic. They are amazing. They are the most generous people. I know as soon as I walk out or get kicked out, there will be that account will just be like going like a pinball machine. You guys are incredible. I'm always touched by the K-Rock listeners. Your generosity, I'll start crying. And I can't cry because I cry. Every time I cry, people remind me about it. So I can't do that. So I just...
But you are married to Kevin, so how can you not cry?
Well, come on. And by the way, I think we know that Kevin is the bigger crier now. Let's not forget.
All right, we don't need your input.
We can all talk about that later. But yes, you guys have been nothing but generous, and we truly appreciate it. And again, remember, this is for people who are in huge need.
Yeah.
This is not something light and fluffy. It's going directly to something. So you will know when you're sitting with your family, or maybe you're being and you're alone, that you have done something that's really going to make somebody's holiday special.
Well, you only come in twice a year to make this push, one for back to school and one for Christmas. And it is Christmas time. The 22nd annual Adopt a Family Holiday Program. As Lisa said, you can adopt a stocking for $25. You can adopt a family if you want. You can get involved on a more physical level if you want to, you know, drop off items, or if you want to be involved in gift wrapping the items. There's a lot of different ways you can help, but everything's right there at friendsandhelpers.org. And as they say on TV, operators are standing by, right, Melissa?
There are 3 people in my delightfully lovely home office right now, and we are always available by email. And please reach out and talk to us, and we would love to hear from you, and thanks so much.
And I don't ever ask for people to retweet things that I tweet. But this particular one, I hope that if I only do it once a year, that people will retweet and get the information out there.
Did you double check the spelling and the link, Kevin?
No, I did not. Maybe I should do that right now.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want to volunteer, you can just show up. You don't need to email me about that. Just show up at any of our 6 events, which are on the website.
Okay.
There you go.
And by the way, 6
Thanks,
people.
Melissa.
Thanks, guys.
Kevin, you're a guy who's famous for a lot of things. One of which is
any good?
Frequently being late for events that you're supposed to be at. Sometimes it's a few minutes. Sometimes it's an hour. Occasionally it's a day. And that's what we want to focus on here today. I don't know that we've ever done this as a phone topic. You weren't a little bit late. You were a day late is what we want to talk about here at 1-800-520-106. That's happened to you, right,
Kevin? But the kickoff story is not me, Bean. It's Anne Hathaway.
Uh-huh. Anne Hathaway.
Right. Can I play that tape or are we going to focus on me? Here we go.
No. Anyone.
Anne Hathaway. just a day late.
And was invited to Matthew McConaughey's surprise birthday party. Okay, good enough. Problem is, she showed up a day late.
What did he say when he answered the door?
Very true to Matthew. He said, come on in. And I said, surprise. And he said, party was last night. And then I just wanted to die. And we hung out for 9 hours.
Really?
It was awesome. We had such a great night.
Yeah. Worked out for her, right?
Sounds to me like Matthew McConaughey's trying to get a wife swap going, is what it sounds like.
All right.
Well, when Ralph did that story, and those, of course, are the that's part of the press for Interstellar, the movie that they started together. When Ralph did that story on Friday, we started talking about it off the air and in the office, and it turned out almost all of us have a story about arriving a day late to something. And that's why we thought it might be fun to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, I'll throw myself under the bus. I went to a Seattle Mariners baseball game and showed up to get into the stadium and presented my ticket at the door, and they said, these tickets are for last night's game. I mean, it happened to me. I just had the date wrong, which night I was going to the game, and I ended up not having tickets to the game I was trying to go to.
Oh, well, I've done that. But, I mean, that's well, – is that, that – you brought
that's the
wrong
showing up
ticket.
A day late. That's showing up a day late for something you were supposed to be at yesterday and you came today.
Yeah, I guess so. But you were also – there was also a game that night, right?
Yes, there was.
I went to a Laker game that was an away game when I drove to the Forum in the day when they're having it at the Forum, and that was rough. I really felt like I saw the Forum parking lot and it was completely empty, and I was like, "How is nobody at the Laker game?" Oh no!
Oh, it's away.
There's nobody at the Laker
game. Dave reminded us that it has happened multiple times with guests on the Kevin and Bean show. David Alan Greer showed up. Was it a day late or a day early?
I think it was a day early.
He showed up a day early. Wasn't supposed to be here. We've had a couple of different
Same
times.
Same with Rob Dyrdek. He poked his head and he said, hey, everybody. And I think the King of Mexico said, tomorrow? And he goes, all right, I'll come back. I'll see you.
Lisa, has it ever happened to you?
Not that I can. I mean, I've gone to the wrong movie theater with a bunch of people where I was like making all the arrangements and we were at the wrong theater. And then we had to like run to
That's
get to the
fun.
Other theater. So that's embarrassing.
How about you, Muggs?
I showed up a week early to a dentist appointment.
That's a week?
Yeah.
We're all trying to think of a day. You showed up a week
yeah.
early.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Was that one of those appointments that you had to make like 2 months out?
A year out. So it was an annual cleaning.
His dentist doesn't want him to come back.
No, clearly not.
Changing the dates on him and stuff. A week. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start quickly with David, and then we'll take a quick break. Hi, David.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This is not you, but your parents?
My in-laws, they had tickets to a Led Zeppelin concert back in the 70s. And they went to the show, and they showed up, and nobody was in the parking lot. They looked at their ticket stubs, and it was the night before.
Oh, so not even it's bad if it's the next night, but you can at least still come back and see the show. But if it's last night, then that's...
Yeah, if it's last night, man, that hurts. Because you know that's something that they bought tickets for in advance, and they were looking forward to it and planning on it, and they had to be walking away going, womp, womp, womp. Thanks, David.
We appreciate the call. We'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're talking about you showed up someplace a day late. No word on whether you were also a dollar short, but we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, wow.
It's an expression.
Yep.
Let's go to Nick in Chino. He's on line one. He's got a good one to get us going.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on?
You showed up a day late? Day early?
Day late. Actually, yeah, I'm a wedding. I was a wedding DJ back then, and
you missed
I thought
the wedding
was on Saturday, but it was actually on Friday night. And
oh my God,
that's
it
huge!
Was a friend of a friend, and I guess everybody was trying to call me, but I was surfing, and my phone had died in my car. And
so
I
you literally didn't know that you had missed the wedding until you went to the venue the day a day after.
I went to the venue, and inside the room was another wedding and another DJ, and I was like, what am I doing? So I started calling people. Nobody was picking up their phone, listening to a couple messages of some angry people. And
sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that part of why you're no longer a wedding DJ, Nick?
Yeah, probably a big part, yeah.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Santa Monica. Amber is on line three. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Amber.
Hey, happy Monday.
To you, too.
So I missed my UCLA graduation. Me and my family were all dressed up, ready to go. And then I was a little unsure when I was supposed to get there as a student. So I text my friend on a Saturday. I'm like, hey, I'm just unsure. When are we supposed to get there? And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, yeah, graduation. I don't know what time we're supposed to get there. And he's like, it was yesterday. And, of course, like, my mom's crying. We're all dressed up. And I'm just like, what do you mean it was yesterday? He's like, yeah, it was yesterday. And I'm like, so I had to tell my mom. She's all crying. We're all dressed up, ready to go. Luckily, we had dinner reservations, so we ended up going there. But the whole night, my mom was just sad and kind of like, I told everyone you were graduating. And I'm like, I still get the bachelor's. Like, but, yeah, so I missed my graduation.
What does that say about a UCLA college education if you can't really even show up to one thing on time?
I feel like UCLA should have contacted her and maybe withdrawn whatever degree she was going to get.
Hey, I think their whole information site and stuff is very confusing.
Right?
So.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, it's on them. It's absolutely on them.
Right, sure.
All right, Amber, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go down to line 5, Santa Clarita. Michael is up next. Boy, you don't want to screw up a date when it's an anniversary.
Oh, no, you don't at all. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Yeah, it was our one-year anniversary, so it was, you know, paper is the gift. So I got tickets to go see Once at the Pantages Theater. And went out, had a nice meal, and walked right to the Pantages Theater to have the lady tell us that, oh, that was for last night's showing.
Michael, dude, it was so good. I saw it. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
She was inside when you were supposed to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did your wife say? What was her reaction when you both were told, oh, no, it was last night?
Oh, we both actually laughed about it, and what's funny is she's like, spot on with dates and everything, and she didn't even notice that ticket said Friday night.
Oh, lucky you.
Lucky you. It could have been very bad. Could have been the end of your marriage after a year if it had gone differently. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. How about Kyle, line 7 in Redlands?
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. We're taking calls from people who miss stuff by a day. Although we did get a tweet. Somebody tweeted at Kevin and Bean that they missed it by a month. Planned a vacation for July, went in July, found out it was in June.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
That's extreme. All right. I'm sorry. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
What did you do?
I had quit my job, moved out to Hawaii, bought a one-way ticket out there, you know, worked kind of hot jobs just so I could lay on the beach all day and do a little bit of partying, and finally got to the end of my money and had to buy my one-way ticket back home. And not going to say I wasn't, but it's possible I was drinking a little bit when I purchased the ticket.
Yeah.
So when I showed up to the airport, found out I was a day late, and they wanted a $100 change fee, which at that point I did not have.
Did you tell them you'd work the counter for them for a while and work it off?
I'd have done anything it took.
So how'd you end up getting home? How'd you get that money together?
Well, I had to put my tail between my legs and call my mom and dad and ask for them to float me alone.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
After I don't know how bummed out Hawaii. I would be, by the way, if I was stuck in Hawaii, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah. Without any money, it's not much fun.
It could have been worse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the call. By the way, one of our listeners who has a tail, that's kind of fascinating, too, like Stryker does here.
Has a tail.
What? That's what he said. Oh. He said he put his tail between his
legs. Yeah, that's not what he meant. That's just...
How about Andrew, Huntington Beach on line 1?
Hi, Andrew.
Yo, what's good?
What's good?
What's good indeed?
Is that what we're saying now?
I like it.
I showed up a day late to basic training for the Air Force.
Oh, they love that.
What did they do to you?
Oh, yeah, they love it. So you've all seen Full Metal Jacket, right?
Yep, sure.
Yeah, imagine Private Pyle, but just the whole time in basic training.
So they rode your ass the entire time.
Yeah, and you know, they started out, you know, real small with, oh, you're a day late? Well, guess what? Al-Qaeda's a day early for us now.
That's awesome.
And it just got worse. So then, you know, I was the terrorist from
you know, from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be the last guy to that party, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Andrew. Ron writes in, good morning, guys. And Lisa Mae Ding, a few years back, my wife and I, along with another couple, showed up at Staples Center for a Depeche Mode concert. The other couple got in no problem. Our tickets, however, would not scan as they were for the previous night. Wah, wah, wah. $240 down the drain. And since the other couple drove and was at the concert, we had to take the Metro back home.
Oh, that's so sad
when you're really looking forward to something like
Let's take one more. It's Jeremy in West Hollywood. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. We're talking about being a day late. Tell us your story.
So mine was actually a week late, and it just happened. So so my buddy invited me to his Halloween party, adults only. I was like, all right, I'm going to make a hilarious costume. I dressed up as a Franzia box of wine, and I had the spout coming out of my crotch area.
Yes,
right. That would be hilarious. Little did I know, it was actually the Friday before Halloween. So I showed up Halloween night. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And I see a bunch of teenagers in the house. Come to find out, it's my buddy's 14-year-old daughter's Halloween party.
Oh, my.
They're in a very inappropriate costume.
Did they find your spigot funny?
They all pointed and laughed. It was hilarious.
So you missed it by a full week.
A full week, yep.
Nicely done.
But it was worth it to get on the sex offenders registry, wasn't it?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Black Keys tickets given away all weekend long here on K-Rock. It's time to announce the grand prize winner.
Anyway, here it is. Are you ready? How about that drum roll? Where's the drum? We don't have a drum roll.
Rodney, I have.
But we're going to hear it anyway. We're going to hear it. But here it is.
All right, here it is, Kevin. Who's the winner?
Take a seat. Black Keys at the Forum, November 6th. Meet and greet with the band. And you get Dan's guitar that he plays in the show. And it's Sharon Pius from Tarzana.
Yay!
She Congratulations, wins the, Sharon. Grand prize winner.
His actual guitar.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Pretty cool.
I'm sure it's some cheap $50 knockoff guitar that they give to the winner, though, right? They don't give him a real good guitar.
I believe it's the one he's playing.
That's impressive, then. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then Andrew Siciliano talks all things NFL after the top of the hour. Good morning, Ralph.
It is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Nightcrawler, in its debut, was number one, with almost $11 million at the box office this weekend. Ouija came in at number two with just a hair over $10 million. Fury, Gone Girl, and The Book of Life were your top five movies. John Wick, the new Keanu Reeves movie.
Whoa.
Came in at sixth. St. Vincent, the new Bill Murray film, was seventh. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day was eighth. The Judge and Dracula Untold were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
If you didn't have time to see it, make sure that you put it on your schedule to see Nightcrawlers, because it is amazing. And Jake, as I called him, Gyllenhaal, really knocks it out of the park. And this was really good.
I need to put this on my schedule.
Put it on your schedule, Ralph.
Go to see movie.
Thank you.
Nightcrawler in parentheses. Got it. It's on my schedule.
All right, good.
I love Katie Melua. I don't know if you know Katie Melua or not, but
she's the singer?
She is a British pop star, singer-songwriter. She has been a huge star in the UK for about 10 years, has never really made any dent over here in the States at all, but I'm a huge fan of hers. She has a particularly good cover version of Just Like Heaven. Which is
by The Cure?
Yeah, which is a song of hers that I really adore. Here's a little taste of Katie.
Show me how you do that trick, the one that makes me scream. He said, the one that makes me laugh. He said, and threw his arms around my neck.
Anyway, she's a singer, songwriter, plays guitar, is beautiful, super talented. I'm a big fan, so I was saddened to hear the news this week about Katie, and you'll understand why. She said on October 28th, she had been hearing a rustling sound in her ear for about a week, and it was just making her crazy. So she finally succumbed and went to the doctor to have it checked out. And when they looked into her ear canal, they found, staring back at them, a spider that was living in her ear.
What you want.
The spider apparently had set up residence inside her ear for about 7 days.
For a week.
She said, other than the occasional shuffling noise, she really didn't know what was going on.
She's got a lot of paperwork.
We're gonna die!
The spider has a lot of paperwork.
You would hear this strange rustling, and then it would get quiet again. So she figured, oh, it's just something's going on there. They saw a spider in her hand when they looked.
That is scary.
You are all going to die tonight.
So they sucked it out with a little tiny vacuum cleaner that they use just for occasions like this.
Okay.
Put it in a vial, gave it to her to take home.
As a pet?
A pet.
She said she released it into her garden. Where hopefully there's more for her, more for the spider to eat.
That's hilarious.
A spider lives in my head. I'm killing
I'm
that
killing
ass spider.
Same.
I'm yelling at it for a while, and then I'm killing it. Then I'm setting it on fire, watching it burn. You don't live in my head. That
I don't
is
think it's the spider's fault, though,
it
Ralph.
Is the
you can't
whose
blame
fault
the spider.
Is it? What, did the Russians put it there? Spider crawled inside her head, set up shop. No,
right,
sir.
Well, it's an
good
insect.
Day, sir. You lose. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
It's an insect looking
with
for
Ralph.
A warm, safe place to
yep,
live.
But if
yeah.
that place
is in my body, you're gone.
That's right. You made a poor choice, spider. Tell your little spider friends to choose more wisely. You live in my head, you die. Those are the rules.
Well, I'm sad to hear that about Katie, because she's adorable.
But well, she's fine. That's fine.
And
best case scenario.
No, I'm just scared. It's a scary
story
for you. Everybody's well.
I thought you were heading toward death or something like that. I was like, oh, no.
Let's see, I was setting you up.
Yeah.
For the old spider one, too, right there.
Ebola!
No, it was not Ebola at all. Just a spider living in her head. I don't want spiders living in my head.
Shame.
I've said, how many times have I told you that, Kevin? As long as we've known each other, I've always said to you, I do not want spiders living in my head.
Well, now once.
Sure, there's that one time. Hey, would you guys like to go see the Kevin and Bean movie, Dumb and Dumber 2?
How dare you?
Oh, wait a minute. This is the sequel to the popular Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels comedy. 20 years later, they're getting around to making a sequel. Dumb and Dumber 2 is in theaters everywhere on November the 14th. But you, my good friends, will see it before anyone else at our special K-Rock screening of Dumb and Dumber 2 on November the 11th at the AMC Burbank 16. If you'd like to see the return of the Dumb and Dumber duo, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers of that number will get a pair of tickets to see Dumb and Dumber 2.
Before you go all bean on us and write emails and letters and stuff, Dumb and Dumber 2 is spelled T-O.
It is.
On purpose.
Because
on purpose.
Those guys are dumb.
Because Dumb and Dumber.
So the spelling two.
T-O.
What would be T-W-O as T-O. Because they're
T-O-O.
Dumb.
Or even T-O-O, but not T-O. But they did it on purpose.
Right.
Is it T-O-O or is it T-O?
Could be either, I guess.
Doesn't matter.
Because this
probably more likely
T-O.
T-W-O. Probably more likely T-W-O is what they're parodying, I would imagine.
Doesn't matter. They spelled it wrong.
Well, I'm assuming because it's a sequel. Usually sequels are numbered one. The second one would usually be two, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
So what are we arguing about?
We're not. We're not arguing at all. We're all on the same page.
We're all fine.
Is there a spider in your head?
No, I hope not.
Yes.
You have a policy on that, Ralph?
Dumb and Dumber T-O is how it's
That's right. That's what it is, yeah.
I thought you said T-O-O.
No. We were saying, I was helping to finish Kevin's sentence about they spelled it T-O on purpose when you're going to think it should be T-O-O or T-W-O, but they spelled it T-O on purpose.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
I didn't even get to the story where I can tell you what a whore Taylor Swift is. I'm out of time.
Well, that's a good tease for next hour,
though. We'll have to do it the next hour.
Yeah.
How much everyone should hate Taylor Swift and why.
I'm already offended. I don't even know the story. I'm already offended.
I'm already on board.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr, 62 years old today. Phil Sims is 60, former NFL quarterback, now broadcaster. Speaking of former NFL quarterbacks, you know Boomer.
Nick Foles.
Boomer Esiason.
Yes. Nice, Pete.
Nick Foles is still an NFL quarterback.
Technically,
he's going to take a little rest. That's
he's just one of those that doesn't play. But go ahead.
Boomer Esiason has a new job now. Did I tell you this? Did we do the story last week? Where I mentioned he was the commissioner of the FFL.
Fantasy Football League?
No. You wish it was Fantasy Football League.
He wishes it was Fantasy Football League.
It's the Feline Football League.
Oh, no.
And he is overseeing the Kitten Bowl. Kitten Bowl 2, which will be at the halftime on the Hallmark Channel this year during the Super Bowl. Kitten Bowl, where they have kittens on a football field and they have a kitten bowl.
Why is he involved in that?
Because
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
He's the commissioner of the Feline Football League, the FFL.
Why would he do that?
Why would he do that?
I'm sad for him. I'm embarrassed for him.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. But I just hope that there's a horrible accident during the Kitten Bowl. They call it the Super Bowl.
I'm hoping a giant Klieg light falls onto the set and burns all the curtains.
Oh,
is that wrong?
Yeah, it's way wrong.
I'd say that falls firmly in the wrong department, yes.
I just don't want kittens living in my head. How many times have I said that?
I don't
think
they're going to. That's not the same story.
I'm confused. Yeah. Dennis Miller, the talk show host, is 61 years old today. Tim McElrath from Rise Against. He is 36 years old. Colin Kaepernick, San Francisco 49er quarterback.
Ha!
He's 27 years old. And Kendall, formerly known as Kendall Jenner. She is 19. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So the drummer from that band went on to form a little group called Foo Fighters. They are playing a super secret show this week, a special K-Rock show. You cannot buy tickets. You can win tickets from K-Rock only that we're going to give you next here at K-Rock. If you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a couple minutes, and you'll have a chance to earn them. That's coming up. Kevin Nealon later this hour. Right now, our friend Andrew Siciliano is on the phone from the NFL Network. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Traffic and weather, the 405 South. Sucks right around Jefferson.
Really?
That's a shock.
What a surprise. Andrew, how was your day at work yesterday on the Red Zone and DirecTV?
Day was fun. Day was good. We had good games. I know the Patriots and Broncos maybe didn't live up to expectations if you're a Denver fan, but the Raiders Seahawks game was closer than they thought it would be, and the Rams and the Niners came down to the final play of the game. So just asked for a little bit of drama. We got it. I thought we had a good time.
Did you think it was possible that the Seahawks could actually lose to the Raiders? I mean, they tried.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
And you kept waiting for the Seahawks to pull away, yet the Raiders kept hanging around, this is the obligatory pat on the back for the Raiders. They, pat them on the back. They played a good game. No one wins up there. But they are now 0-8. They're the only winless team of the league. They've lost 12 straight or 14 straight, something like that, going back to last year. They're 0-8 for the first time since 1962, and their next three games are against, in no order, the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. So they are staring at 0-11. I don't think this is an 0-16 team. I think there is a winnable game or two, and they have been in most of their games of late.
Absolutely. Look, I don't know how much consolation that is when you walk back into the locker room after losing. And I think you said on Twitter we're counting 0-8, but they had lost like the last six games of last season too, something like that. So they've really lost like 14 in a row, right, Andrew?
Yeah, that is correct. And again, I don't think this is an 0-16 team. They're going to make it interesting. Let's put it that way.
But I just wonder, is there some consolation in, hey, we kept it close right until the last couple of minutes. Hey, Derek Carr's looked pretty good for most of the game. I mean, they definitely do have some positives as Raiders.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm not bearing the Raiders at all. They absolutely have positives. I don't think they're going to go winless. They are close in all these games. They almost won in New England. I mean, granted, that was 6 weeks ago. But, yes, they will win a game or two.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the other games for the weekend that were surprises to us. No one could have predicted Miami 37, San Diego 0. What happened, Andrew?
I asked Philip Rivers, please, because I would love to know. There is no way on earth I saw that coming. I can see the Dolphins winning the game, but not 37
to nothing.
So the Chargers drove the ball 77 yards on their opening drive. They didn't score, but they drove the ball 77 yards. The next 10 drives, they had like 101 yards.
Put together. Yeah.
And I don't know that they got on the plane. Now, that's not an easy trip to make. I mean, sure, it's a long trip, and the Dolphins are playing better, and the Dolphins were inspired. Joe Philbin, the head coach, lost his father Friday night, and they were playing for him. There's an emotional edge to this game, but the Chargers never got off the damn plane.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was just shocking. I mean, when you saw that first quarter, you went, well, this isn't going to hold, and then it just got worse and worse the further the game went on. It never even turned into anything. It was amazing.
And here's the other thing, too, is that game has legitimate head-to-head playoff implications, or it could, because they came in with nearly identical records, and neither team is going to win its division, so they will be fighting for a wild card spot, and the fact that the Dolphins beat them up head-to-head and shut them out may very well mean something around Christmas.
Interesting. It's interesting that we're far enough into the season now at the halfway point that you start thinking about how things are going to affect the playoffs. Granted, they were without their quarterback, but were you surprised to see Kevin's Arizona Cardinals beat the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, that game was hysterical, wasn't it? And I don't mean that in a pile on the Cowboys way, but look, they've lost twice in 6 days now, and the sky is falling.
Yeah.
I said last Monday morning that if and when the Cowboys lose their first game or their next game, because they weren't going to go 15-1, that whatever happens, it will be a constitutional crisis. I mean, it will be the end of the world as we know it. And wow, Brandon Whedon, who is the backup quarterback, who's a former number one pick, but he was a number one pick at like 31 years old. So for baseball fans, to show you how old Brandon Whedon is, he was part of the Dodgers' Kevin Brown trade over a decade ago as a minor league pitcher. All right?
I did not know that. That's crazy.
That's how old he is. And people said that he was going to come in and he was going to be fine. He wasn't fine. He was the same dude he was in Cleveland. And now the Cowboys get on a plane and they go to London. Now, I have a bad back. We've all had bad backs.
Sure.
But a bad back after getting hit like that, he has two small fractures in his back, Tony Romo does. And then he's got to get on a 9-hour flight to London. And they say, oh, he's going to play next week. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing about that back injury, it's called a traverse fracture. I'm not a doctor. I looked it up, though, with the Google, because with Google, we're all doctors. That injury is normally seen in car accidents, people that get gunshot wounds in the back, and people that fall when their parachutes don't deploy.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it's not a healthy back fracture. And almost flying to London on it.
Do you think that they're lying or hopeful when they say that he might play?
We could go an hour on that. I think it is a very hot potato that's being tossed around. When you have the owner for two consecutive weeks saying, oh, no, he's going to play.
Yeah.
It's all up to pain tolerance. Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, the pain tolerance wasn't where it needed to be yesterday, but now he was. Jerry Jones was definitively, if not defiantly, saying yesterday walking out, oh, no, if everything goes right, he's going to play in London.
Right.
All right.
Sure.
Lying. Well, the one thing we've learned is that Cowboys fans expect an 8-8 season every year, and now they're starting to think that this year may be no exception. I'm sorry that we're going to have to leave it there, Andrew. We are out of time, but we'll see you on the TV on the Around the NFL and the NFL Network this afternoon starting at 3, and, of course, every Sunday on the DirecTV Red Zone channel. We love you, man. Thanks for the time.
Traffic still sucks. Love you guys.
We apologize for what's about to happen.
Oh, come on. Come on. Secret K-Rock show with Foo Fighters. It's a little game we like to call Omaroki. Hit it, Steve.
Omaroki as a singer. Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
So only one pair of tickets to give away here. So the way it's going to work, if I understand correctly, is we're going to go to the phones and they're going to listen to Omar sing a Foo Fighters song. All they have to do is identify it by title. If they're right, they go into the drawing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Bean, do you think it'll help if we put a little reverb on his mic or something?
I don't think anything's going to help Omar.
Hey, I'm going to try. I don't need it, but I mean.
I mean, poop is poop, you
check,
guys.
Check, check, check. 1, 2.
I'm going to try. I think it might help a little bit.
All right. All right. Omar, it's hilarious because he's been working at K-Rock for a long time. Big music fan. But when you hear him do Omaroki, it's like he's never heard these songs before.
That's true.
That's the mystery to me.
It sounds just like Dave.
Let's start with Melissa in Fullerton. Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry about Omaroki, but name this song.
If I get any closer, and if you open up wide, and if you let me inside, on and on, I've got nothing to hide. On and on, I've got nothing to hide.
All right, I think that's enough. Melissa, what song is that, please?
All My Life.
All My Life.
Yes! Right.
You can't sing with it.
What? Why not?
You can't sing with the clip.
Melissa is in the drawing. Let's go to David on line 2 in Orange. He's up next.
Hey, David.
Hey.
Welcome to Omaroki. Good luck.
Thank you.
Come down and waste away with me, down with me, slow how you wanted it to be. I'm over my head, out of her head, she sang.
I've heard that song a million times. I would never be able to identify what you just sang as that song, Omar. David, what say you?
Please tell me it's All My Life.
Well, All My Life was worse.
Why would it be All My Life again? Hang up on this guy. This guy's dumb.
That was, really? Was the last answer, so we wouldn't use it again.
Of all the Foo Fighters songs in the world, that's the only one you were assured it was.
This is what it was. Everlong.
It sounded nothing like Everlong.
I agree.
It sounded just like
I'm looking at the lyrics and the song title. And
next
it
time
make
we
sense.
Should get the band so I can have the guitars and drums and the bass.
Yeah.
Rock
Crystal
and
Southgate. Hi.
Southgate.
Hey, this isn't time to make fun of Kevin, Omar.
Hey, there's always time to make fun of Kevin.
Here's your song, Crystal.
Go for it.
Hold on.
To alarm me now to talk about. Take your pictures down and shake it out. Truth or consequence, say it aloud. Use that evidence, race it around.
Good luck, Crystal. Seriously, that sounded like slam poetry more than a Foo Fighters song.
I'm going to say My Hero.
Booyah!
Yes!
Take your pictures down.
How did she get that?
She's the best.
Luck. It's amazing. Let's go to Chuck in Chatsworth. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. Happy Blow-vember.
To you as well. To you as well.
Good morning, Lisa Mae.
Good morning.
There's Omar. Good luck.
I'm a little divided. Do I stay or run away and leave it all behind?
Chuck?
Yes, I'm here.
What song was that?
Hold on. Learn to Fly.
Well, A,
hold on. No.
Too late. B, no. It was Times Like These.
Sorry.
But there's no shame in not knowing that, Chuck. Believe me. It's not on you, my friend.
Let's go to Romy in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey.
Remember when you guys used to ask people if they'd rather hang out with Chuck or Rob?
I really barely do.
All right.
Here's Omar. Good luck.
A million miles away, your signal in the distance, to whom it may concern. I think I lost my way, getting good at starting over.
Okay,
every time that I return.
That's fine. Thank you, Omar. That's fine. Romy, please end this bit. What song is that?
Walk. Yes, it is.
It's correct.
A million miles away.
All right. That's let's take done. One more contestant, and then let's cut our losses and say goodbye to Omar.
All right, Michael in Placentia.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Here's Omar.
Hold on.
And now here's Omar.
I needed somewhere to hang my head without your noose. You gave me something that I didn't have, but I had no use. I was too weak to give in.
Okay.
Too strong to lose.
Okay, thank you, Michael. What song is that, please?
All good.
Best of You.
Yes!
I gotta tell you, very impressed with our listeners here. Not
and
so much
me.
With... Well, no. Melissa, Crystal, Romy, Michael all identified the songs. Only one can win their way into the secret K-Rock-only Foo Fighters show. Who's it going to be?
Crystal is the winner.
Yeah! Crystal. Congratulations, Crystal.
Thank you.
Secret show, Foo Fighters.
Thank you. I'm not excited to go. What's wrong with you?
Enjoy yourself.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Our old friend, Kevin Nealon's on the phone. Hey, Mr. Nealon.
Hey, Mr. Kevin, how are you?
Good. We're doing great, man. Long time no see. What have you been up to?
I know. It seems that way, doesn't it?
It does. It's been a while.
I think it is that way.
What are you doing? Like, when we don't see the mysterious Kevin Nealon, where is he and what is he doing?
Well, he's doing a lot of things. A lot of touring, you know, a lot of stand-up comedy. But the thing I'm most excited about, are you ready?
Wait yes. Yeah. It? Yeah.
It's a show called Laugh Lessons with Kevin Nealon that I have on AOL.com now. And I'm co-producing it with Ellen DeGeneres.
And it's called Laugh Lessons?
It's called Laugh Lessons. And each week we have a different comic coming in and trying to teach kids the art of comedy. Like kids like between 6 and 9 years old. And this kind of came about because my friend Gary Schalling was at my house about 4 years ago. And he was teaching my kid, who was about 3 and a half at the time, how to do a pratfall. He was hitting him in the head with a pillow. softly and telling him to fall like he hit him hard, you know?
Right.
He wasn't enjoying that inappropriately, was he, Gary Shandling?
A little bit too much, I think. Yeah. But you know what? They have sleepovers a lot, and that's what they do.
So is this an attempt to answer the eternal question, which is, can you teach somebody to be funny?
It certainly is. Are you born funny, or can you talk to be funny?
Wow.
That they thought that if a kid's not funny by the time they're 10, they're not going to be funny.
Really?
But yeah, but I do think you could teach a kid how to get laughs, but maybe not how to be funny.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Now, most comedians, and I bet you were the same way, whether you were funny in that you said what you thought out loud as a little kid or not, almost all comedians realize early on that they do look at the world differently than the rest of their family, I think.
Yeah, I think kids, you know, people ask me a lot who makes me laugh the most, and it's always kids. Kids are the funniest because they don't have filters, and they're not censoring what they're saying, and they just say the most honest things, you know? I said to Mike, I was trying to teach my son the other day the rules of baseball. He said, are you safe on first base? Your hand just has to be on the plate, right, before they tag you? I said, no, any body part can be on the plate. He goes, and he thought about it, and he goes, so what if I took a big poop on first base and it was still connected to my butt? Would I still be safe? I said, technically, yeah, you would be, but you'd have to get there really early to set that up.
I don't recommend that as a strategy to beat out the ball. So you sit down with Adam Sandler, Sarah Silverman, Chelsea Handler, David Spade, Dana Carvey, all sorts of people, and they post these on Mondays on AOL, right?
That's right. That's right. And this week, we got another new batch coming out. It's Ellen DeGeneres, David Spade, Sarah Silverman, and Tom Papa. And wow. I just watched them all this morning. It's hilarious.
That sounds like fun. By the way, I saw you interviewed the other day. I think it was for USA Today. And you were talking about how you're getting pretty serious about your guitar playing lately.
I am, actually. You know, I've played the acoustic guitar since I was 10.
And I know you play a mean banjo, right? You play a ukulele.
I play the five-string banjo. I don't play anything else. But and I never really got good at it because I just play at home, you know, and I learn off of books and the internet and stuff. And but now I'm starting to play with more people. But I've always wanted to learn how to play the blues guitar. So I'm on the road a lot, so I decided that I would go out and get a little travel guitar because, you know, I was bringing this Fender guitar that I bought a long time ago. It's a nice, like, you know, 63 Esquire. And I thought, what am I taking this, you know, expensive guitar on the road for? So I found this little guitar at Guitar Center, and now I just sit in my room and I go on the internet and I learn, you know, the pentatonic scales and, you know, different guys on the internet teaching me. It's fun.
And then guy in the room next to you calls down to the front desk and says, I don't know what's happening in the next room, but it needs to stop.
Well, he's got headphones on. He plugs his headphones in.
Yeah, I have a travel guitar, but I have big Vox speakers that I have to
get in. just like the question of can you teach somebody to be funny, can a white man play the blues, Kevin? What have you learned about that? Because a lot of people say unless you've lived the hard scrabble life in the inner city, you cannot make those strings move the way they need to, like the classics did.
Well, I think it's like comedy. It's like teaching kids comedy. You could teach you how to play, but the comedy probably wouldn't be as soulful, you know. I was listening. Somebody was saying that you could take a classical guitar player and teach them how to play the blues, and it just won't have that feel for it.
Right.
You know?
That's what I've heard, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to prove them all wrong.
I got to be honest. I doubt it.
No one's ever taken a five-string banjo player and taught them the blues and said they couldn't feel it.
Have you ever played with Steve Martin?
I have, yeah.
He's great, right?
We played, yeah. I remember about, I don't know, 15 years ago, we were both comparing notes on the banjo, and I said, you know, I know about four or five songs on the banjo. He goes, yeah, me too. I pick it up once in a while. And then I guess he just got a spurt of desire to play the banjo more, and he just, like anything he does, he just threw himself into it and, you know, immersed himself and surrounded himself with all these great players, and now he's pretty spectacular.
It's got to be so fun for you, though, because, you know, the worst part of a stand-up comic's job is all the traveling and being in a different city every week and a lot of time in the hotel and stuff like that. But now I bet if you're really into the music, if it really makes you happy, I bet you, like, are excited about, hey, I can't wait to get to the room because I get to sit down and play and really enjoy it, right?
Well, yeah, if I'm looking for the bright side of traveling on the road, that's what it is. But, you know, I guess I could also do it on a plane, too, because it's a small guitar and I have the headphones.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And as long
and
as
you got nothing but room on a plane.
Yeah. Yep. But, yeah, Kevin Nealon, I do look forward to that.
On the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, longtime friend of the program. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin_Nealon. And one more thing we want to mention while we have you on, because I know it's back again around this year, is the third annual Melanoma Research Foundation Golf Classic. This is going to be next Monday at the Lakeside Golf Course in Burbank. Who's lined up to play with you and the people who want to be involved this year? Kevin, do you know?
Well, we have a lot of great this year it's mostly comics that are going to be joining the foursomes, because at the end of the tournament, we're having the dirtiest joke-telling contest.
Oh, sweet.
And we're having some good judges. I'm not sure exactly who's going to be there. I know some people who said they're going to be there, but you know what it's like.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we have Larry the Cable Guy. I think Cheech Marin's going to be there. Me.
I believe Ray Romano's going to be there because he's coming on tomorrow.
Yeah,
on
Ray Romano will be there. Yeah. George Lopez, I think, might be there. I'm not sure.
Wow, okay.
Got an invitation. You know, so, you know, a lot of all the comics that golf, you know, we've kind of gone through the whole list of who golfs at the comic, you know. and there's only maybe, I'd say maybe 7% of the comics golf.
Seven? You've got it narrowed down to 7%?
Yeah, we hired a guy from MIT to do a survey.
All right, so that's going to be next Monday in Burbank Day is the golf event. So people can go to the website, which is melanoma.org, and then they can sign up to be part of a foursome with a celebrity, right?
Yeah. I started doing this 3 years ago because a good friend of mine passed away from skin cancer, and I just thought that a lot of people aren't really paying attention to the danger signs of being out in the sun too much, you know, and covering up and wearing sunblock. So this is something that, you know, I believe in, and close to my heart. So, you know, I hope it raises awareness at least.
I think it will. And I do love that the weather is cooperating because it's going to be 90 degrees on November 10th while you're outside playing golf.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm not going.
Raising money for melanoma research in the sun.
Yes, go out on one of the hottest days of the year.
We're trying to get rid of the sun, basically. We're raising money to get rid of the sun.
All right. Melanoma.org is where you can get all the information about the event. If you've always wanted to golf with celebrities and raise money for a great cause, you can do that. That's melanoma.org. And you can see Laugh Lessons with Kevin Nealon at laughlessonsaol.com with new episodes every Monday. That sounds like fun. I'm totally going to check that out. Kevin, we love you, man. It's great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, man. It's good talking to you again.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Want to try that again?
No, just no.
I don't think so. I'm with Lisa.
Just leave it.
I'm with Lisa. I think I'm going to let that lay. Happy with it.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. What time is it again, Kim?
It's the time I said before.
All right.
17:09, isn't it, you guys?
That's military.
Oh, that's right.
Number one movie at the box office this weekend was Nightcrawler with Jake. What's his last name, Kim?
Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and it's great.
That's not what you called him.
One of the names I called him.
Oh, was it?
All
right. Yeah. And its debut made a little over almost $11 million. Not a big opening weekend, but certainly good enough to make it number one. Then Ouija was the second movie at the box office. Almost $11 million. Not bad for a movie about a guy getting his underwear pulled up into his crack.
That's not what.
First movie about worms, kind of Nightcrawlers, and then Ouija.
No,
and you get your underwear pulled into your crack. It's a strange crop
I think
of
you're
movies.
Confused by
box.
Some of the terminology.
Furry was number three. That's about people like to have sex and people in mascot costumes.
Again, not what the movie's about at all.
That's Fury.
Oh,
yeah, it's about the war.
A Goon Girl about some unattractive girl who can't get a date apparently to go to the prom because she's all goony looking.
So. Gone Girl, based on the popular book.
And what I was going to say for Book of Life would have been funny.
Save it for your podcast.
John Wick was sixth. St. Vincent, Alexander, and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day was eighth. The Judge and Dracula Untold. Rounding out your top films at the box office this weekend. Rumor has it James Franco is joining the Church of Scientology.
They got him.
According to Star Magazine, the actor is super interested in the sci-fi based religion is doing research on its founder L. Ron Hubbard. However, his friend Seth Rogen has stepped forward and said he doesn't believe that's the case. He said James joining Scientology would be like Darth Vader actually convincing Luke Skywalker to join the dark side. So he doesn't think it's
It's going to happen. Maybe he's just doing some research for a project. That's another.
I know guess. That it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
No one needs another reason to hate Taylor Swift, but there is one. She has removed all of her music from Spotify. Can't listen to her on Spotify anymore.
Isn't that a positive? She's taking her music away from anyone?
It's good for us, except for people who like Spotify. I guess if you wanted to listen to it on there, you wouldn't be able to.
What's her concern with this one?
She's a bitch.
She's throwing a tantrum.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
But what's the problem?
Go ahead, Bean. Go ahead. Tell me about your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Spotify publicly tried to shame her for not making her new album 1989 available on the service.
Yeah, it's only available on iTunes and through...
You can buy it, you can't stream it.
Through Walmart and iTunes.
Okay. So they basically said, hey, because they were getting a lot of heat, you know, from Taylor Swift fans going, hey, why can't we listen to the record? So they publicly said, hey, it's not us, it's Taylor Swift. She won't let us have the record. So Taylor is throwing a little bit of a tantrum that they said that, and she pulled
right,
all
so
of her old
now
music.
Now you won't be able to hear any of my music on
any
Spotify.
Of her music. Right, exactly.
I like the direction we're going, though. I like that.
Now she can just do the same thing with iTunes.
She needs to keep taking her music away.
And every other outlet, that'd be swell.
Get those videos off of YouTube and stop being on TV.
It'd be the best if she would just disappear. I think she's on The Voice this week. It's just she won't go away.
Yeah, I don't know how it got so out of hand like this.
Because she's a child. Petulant child. That's why. Because she's a bitchy little girl.
I mean, I guess we do live in a world where everybody expects everything to be available for free. And she was like, I mean, her thinking is, hey, I don't want to put my album up first week because I'd like to sell a few copies before we don't sell records anymore.
Well, then don't do it. But then what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, but then to go back and pull songs from 5 years ago, it doesn't. I don't get what that's about. Seems a little petty
to
me.
She's horrible. She's a horrible person. Right, Bean? You're with me.
I'm not with you. I don't support, you know, blindly every decision she makes. I like her a lot, but this seems ill-advised.
She's a bitch.
That's what I'm saying. And now it's just, the floodgates have opened. It's just cancel time.
Uh-oh.
When it comes to television, Fox finally gave up on its $50 million reality show gamble, Utopia. First, they were showing it twice a week, and people were staying away in droves. And they're like, all right, we'll just show it once a week. It'll be more interesting once a week, right? We'll put on Junior Cookers instead once a week.
Kids What's making, Junior Cookers?
Kids making dinner. We'll
That's
show
the Gordon Ramsay
That's
show where they teach kids to cook, right?
That's a show?
Yes. I don't think it's called Junior. How is it different from Big Brother, which seemingly is a huge success that's on every single summer for like 15 years?
Because...
Isn't it just people living on camera?
Yeah, but Utopia was send them out in the wilderness and force them to forge a new society.
It's like a social experiment type thing.
Big Brother.
They weren't living
is,
in a house
Big
or anything?
They're in a house with everything they need, just fighting and banging each other. Mm-hmm. Which is what America wants to see. They don't want to see social experiments about who becomes the leader of a group of misfit outcasts and how do they form their own government. Nobody wants to see that BS.
I mean, did they literally have to build shelter and start fire and catch food and all that sort
yes,
of stuff?
All of
oh,
these
I
things,
see. Oh, yeah. That's too boring for America.
Yeah. So now it's been canceled and it'll be replaced by Encore episodes of Junior Cookers. So we're going to get a lot of Junior Cookers.
Sure,
on Fox.
A lot of TV about little kids cooking.
A lot of kids grating cheese will be on your television from Fox coming
Does
soon.
Gordon Ramsay scream at 11-year-olds the same way he screams at 30-year-olds?
You are a stupid donkey!
But the kids yell back.
That's bullshit.
That's what they say, yeah. And NBC has also canceled two of its lowest rated shows. Bad Judge. The cutting edge story of the harsh but party loving judge. that has been canceled. And A to Z, a romantic comedy. The plan was to chart the entire course of a relationship from its beginning to its finish. We've seen the beginning. We're not going to get to the Z.
We're not interested
we got about F.
Oh, we did?
We got into about F.
All right.
So A to Z has been canceled. By the way, just got a pitch from NBC for one of the stars of A to Z to be on our show this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, you want to talk to this star from A to Z? No, your show was canceled. Someone in the press department at NBC, pick up the phone. There's a message waiting for you. What the hell's going on with people? Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 62 years old today. Phil Sims, former quarterback for the NFL, 60 years old today. Speaking of quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick from your San Francisco 49ers. Oops.
Oops, indeed.
He's 27 years old today. Fumble on the goal line.
Yep.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Dennis Miller, 61. Tim McElrath from Rise Against, 36 years old. And reality star Kendall. Kendall Jenner. Was she a model? What did she do?
I think so.
I guess.
Probably.
She puts on clothes for a living.
She's a bitch.
That's a lot of them today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm excited to see the ratings for this weekend's Saturday Night Live. A lot of times based on the host or the musical guest, the show will do real well. And they couldn't have done much better for both this week with Chris Rock as the host and Prince as the musical guest. I did see the Prince performance. You see it, Kevin? I know you love Prince.
I did not. I taped it.
He is unbelievable.
He's an unbelievable performer.
Yeah, yeah, he's unbelievable. And they did something new with Saturday Night Live. Rather than have him come on and do two songs, they gave him just one segment. I guess this was his request. One segment where he got to do a medley that was just an 8-minute guitar jam. It was very cool. I mean, you didn't want that to end. You wanted to, like, blow off the rest of the show. Just let Prince play. But I haven't seen the whole show yet, and I heard Chris Rock was great.
Chris Rock is one of those comedians when he's at the top of his game where he is nailing it. And a lot of times, this is scary territory where they start doing comedy about something and you go, no, 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 don't. You're not going to make jokes about that. And then somehow he's able to kind of turn it and make it work.
What was he talking about?
Well, for one thing, the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh.
So your first response is, hey, that's not funny.
Hey, we're here to laugh. Why would you bring that up?
Here's Chris.
Well, that Boston Marathon was scary, man. That was scary, man. Because I love Boston. I love the people there. But that was probably the most frightening, sadistic terrorist attack ever. Just think about it. 26 miles. 26 miles. 26 miles is a long drive. If you call up one of your friends, hey, man, I need you to pick me up. Where you at? About 26 miles away. You better get Uber. 26 miles. People jogging for 26 miles, man. 26. Their knees are hurting. Their feet are killing them. If you're a woman, there's blood coming out your 26 miles. You've been training for a year. You finally get to the finish line and somebody screams, run! Woo! That is horrible, man.
All right. So you check that off.
Okay.
This is why Chris Rock is great. It's like you're watching somebody do a magic trick. You hear the setup and you hear where he's going. You still have no idea how he's going to stick the landing. And he does it. He figures out a way to make it funny.
How about we go from the Boston Marathon bombing to the Freedom Tower?
You mean the site of the World Trade Center that blew up in New York?
Yep.
In New York on Saturday Night Live, he's making that part of his monologue?
Yep. I think
that's
today,
pretty gutsy.
Is today the first day people are moving into it?
Yes. Oh. Yes, it is.
So he brings that up.
They should change the name from the Freedom Tower to the Never Going In There Tower. Because I'm never going in there. There is no circumstance that will ever get me in that building. Are you kidding me? Do they have? Does this building duck? What are they thinking? Like, who's the corporate sponsor? Target? Stop it! In the same spot, they put another skyscraper in the same spot. What kind of arrogant Floyd Mayweather crap is this? In the same spot. What businesses are they going to put in the Freedom Tower? They're going to put some mandatory stuff in there. Stuff you can't get out of, like the IRS, Family Court, DMV. Because they put a sunglass hut in there, it's going to be empty.
By the way, I wonder if he gets a pass because he's so beloved by the media. I wonder if a lesser comedian had done that chunk on the Freedom Tower, if there would have, if people would have protested at somebody making fun of New York.
And from New York, too.
Right, right, absolutely.
And from New York, so maybe he gets away with it. What about the commercialization of 9/11?
People are like, come on, man, don't joke about the Freedom Tower. That has something to do with 9/11. Hey, I'm not joking about 9/11. I'm not. But you got to realize, we are in America. And in America, there are no sacred days because we commercialize everything. So we're only 5 years away from 9/11 sales. That's right. You're gonna hear it on the radio. Like, come on down to Red Lobster. These shrimp are $9.11. That's right. No, it doesn't matter what the holiday is. Martin Luther King Day is gonna be the same thing. You're gonna be watching TV like, these Toyotas are practically free at last. These Toyotas are practically free at last. This MLK birthday, Madea's got a dream.
By the way, he's absolutely right about that. There would have been a time where people in this country would have been horrified that there was such a thing as a Memorial Day sale.
So he's done the Boston Marathon.
Right.
He's done the Freedom
9/11,
Tower.
Right?
Wow.
9/11 commercialization.
Does he have a great abortion chunk coming up now?
The NRA.
Really?
I went down to Washington, D.C. for an anti-gun event, okay? Anti-gun thing at the White House. I'm not big anti-gun, but I just think there should be some regulations just in case. Just, like the same way I can't drive a NASCAR down the street, I shouldn't be able to have a machine gun in my house across the street from the school. Okay? That's simple, right? So I go to this thing, and it's me and a bunch of celebrities. I come home, and I check out my website. And I look at my website, and there's all these threats on there. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put one in your head. I'll slit your throat. Don't you dare come between me and my weapon. And I realize, oh, my God, I need a gun. I need a gun right now. And from that moment on, I said I will never get involved in any charity or cause for the rest of my life. You on your own. I don't care what disease it is. I don't care if it's protecting kids, the environment. I don't care. If you see me talking about a disease, I got it.
That is awesome. And by the way, brave of Chris Rock and of Saturday Night Live to put, because I watch this show every week, usually it's, you know, Channing Tatum out there doing a song and dance as the model.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is definitely much deeper than they usually go. I think that's awesome.
I do too.
What? What?
Sir?
What? What's going on?
Raider.
Well, all right.
True.
Raider.
Yeah, 0-8 is maybe not where you hope to be at the midpoint of the NFL season. I was watching that game yesterday, and it was a lot closer than I wanted it to be as a Seahawks fan. But there were two pieces of tape that I pulled that I loved. The first one was this one.
The Raiders are disintegrating.
That was after their third turnover in like 2 minutes. And then this one, I think you'll appreciate, Kevin.
I love tight ends.
Oh, I know you do.
Right? But then I started thinking about our friend Rudy Cisneros, and I thought, what must it be like for him and the rest of the Raider Nation who gets so excited about Sundays and every week it's another loss? Rudy, my friend, what's going on with you?
Hey, first off, like, who was that vato you were playing that was laughing like that at the Raiders?
Somebody just called. We have an answering machine called the Afro Line. Somebody just called and left that message a long time ago.
Whoever you are, you better let us know who you are. I'm going to show you who's boss, dog. You know, you can't be making fun of the Raiders like that.
Well, they are. They're
Rudy. Shank him, dog.
Rudy, I don't want to be shanked, but they are 0-8.
You know, it takes a struggle to have progress, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes it's like the storm is darker before the sunlight or whatever.
Something like that.
Right, but the point is that you can't even make the playoffs if you don't win at least 8 games. I mean, your season is essentially almost over mathematically at this point.
No, man, because like last night, you know, I was like sitting back, you know, I was like with Little Mechanic and Crazy Maniac and Joker, and we were watching the game, you know, like blazing, whatever, just like watching, thinking, and I started thinking about like I could fix the Raiders, fool.
You could fix them?
I could, like, I bet, like, if they start using some of my, like, tips, you know, like, they could probably win every game from here on out.
Well, I mean, look, anyone who's got a great idea, I'm sure the Raiders would love to hear about it. What would you suggest they try?
I'm passionate, dog. You know, I'm passionate. And, like, especially if I get blunted out, you know, I start thinking, dog, like, what can I do to help my Raiders? Because I love them, you know? And I was like, hey, I was watching National Geographic, right? Como se dice, the animals, right?
Uh-huh.
What if they got a quarterback that's a hippo?
Well, I don't think it's allowed.
But that, like... Because I saw the hippo, like all the other animals were running away.
Right,
they,
but...
they could have scored a crazy touchdown, dog.
I think it's illegal, but maybe he could play running back.
A hippo can't play football, you guys. A hippo doesn't know how to play football. And a hippo would be too dangerous for other humans on the field.
Listen, dog, like, I didn't know how to, like, you know, change a carburetor when I was a little kid, but, like, I learned.
So you think a hippo could learn football?
You know what, dog? You know, I saw Vato, this guy, he called him Flaquito. He was 125 pounds. And I saw him blast a hyena who was like 340 pounds. And I thought to myself, there's no way he's going to come out of this alive. And next thing you know, she came out, she's like, damn, he worked me. And I'm like, hey, if he can knock her boots, a hippo could play football. Oh,
okay, is that your only idea?
What if, hey, listen, dog, like, I remember one time, like, I was in the park playing soccer with, like, my homeboys, and they're like, hey, let's play some football, like, American football. I'm like, whatever, dog. And then this one guy, you know, I caught an out pass, you know, because I was like, you know, I'm sock pulled up. I was all ready to go. I caught a pass, and he's like, hey, out of bounds, dog. And then I was like, nah, dog, I was in. I scored a touchdown, stupid. And he's like, no, you're out of bounds. So I shot him.
Well, that's not.
Start doing that.
That's not a what? No, that's not the way to.
We totally won, dog, because I shot him right in the leg.
Right, but you can't just shoot.
Oh, damn, dog, my leg! You shot me in the leg. I was like, that's right, little girl. There was a little girl crying on the ground like a bitch.
I'm relatively sure you'll see a penalty flag for that.
Yes.
What is that? Hey, listen. I'll think about it. Hey, one time, you know, when I was in high school, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted my high school to win the football game. So we sent over this hyena. We called her Volcano because, like, her hole was all hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you ever
Rudy.
Come on, Rudy.
So we sent her over to the locker room of the other team, you know, and she, like, got passed around like a spliff. And then, like, next you know, the team comes to show up for the game. They're all itching their huevo. And then we just scored touchdowns, crazy touchdowns. So, like, you can send over a dirty hyena over there.
I understand that
you can do that to each team each week.
Tactics have worked for you, but I don't think they're transferable to professional NFL players.
No, no, but for real. Like, one time I played, like, an organized football game because we were in jail, and, like, I was in the pen. And, like, you know, like, stupid Adam Sandler, you know, the guards, they played us in the football game.
Right, yeah, the Longest Yard movie, right.
Yeah, so they really do that, dog, like, sometimes, and, like, they help us deal with our aggression, whatever. And so we thought, like, hey, wouldn't it be smart, We played the whole game with boners.
What are you talking about?
And then, like, because the guards didn't want to tackle us because there was, like, all these big vacos, you know, like, with boners. They were like, hey, look at us with our boners. And then, like, they just let us run and score touchdowns.
So you've given this a lot of thought, it sounds like, Rudy.
We just, like, we snuck in some Viagra, and we thought about, like, Eva Mendez. And
we understand how that works. Yeah, we know how boners work,
and all
Rudy.
The, you know, stuff that gets you hot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, speaking of Raiders, dog, you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, yeah. But that doesn't have anything to do with the football Raiders.
Oh, it's crazy though, dog.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Rob is here. Time for another look. Our final look for a Monday Kevin and Bean Show at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, the dust is settled. Final tallies are in. It was very close between Nightcrawler and Ouija for the number one film of the weekend. But according to the final tally, Ouija, number one movie this weekend.
Oh,
Ouija.
Really? I thought you said what? I'm sad for Jake Gyllenhaal. His movie's so good.
Ouija, number one. Nightcrawler was number two. It was very close between the two of those. But they just, I guess the final quarters and nickels were finally just counted up, and they have a winner.
Well, I mean, it was Halloween weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure Ouija will drop off.
A lot of people in the mood for some Ouija.
Bean and I have both seen that Nightcrawler, and it's great.
It is great.
So believe Bean when he says a movie is good.
I always have to have somebody else to back me up.
Yes. I noticed I did not mention believe Kevin and Bean. So just believe Bean. Speaking of Halloween, first of all, I want to thank everybody who came out to Kamikaze this past weekend. Stan Lee's Kamikaze
Pop
Culture Comic Con event was all weekend long, and on Saturday, I sat down with my friend Kevin Smith, and we did a tribute to the 60s Batman TV series, and we had a very special guest, Mr. Burt Ward, Robin the Boy Wonder himself, came by, and we sat down and talked Batman TV for about an hour, and we had a blast. It was a really good time, and a ton of K-Rock listeners came out to show their support and hang out, so I wanted to say thanks to everybody I had a chance to say hi to this weekend.
What is Burt Ward's relationship with the Batman TV series now, Ralph? Is it something
he was in it?
I understand that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just wondering if it's something that he needs the money so he talks about it, or is it something that he still genuinely is proud of and happy to discuss?
He's genuinely proud and happy to discuss that experience in his life, I believe. Because unlike Adam, who went on to do a lot of other projects and stuff, Bert kind of got out of show business not too long after he was Robin the Boy Wonder. That was his big, it was his first paid gig. And it was obviously his biggest achievement, and then he went on to do other things. Right now, his main thing now is he runs a giant, no pun intended, a dog rescue for big breed dogs.
No kidding.
Great Danes.
That's commendable.
Great Danes. He's got like 40 different breeds of large-sized dogs that he rescues, because when these dogs are given up by families and gone into shelters and things like that, they're the hardest ones to adopt out because people don't want to take on the cost and responsibility of having a large dog in your home. I mean, if you got an apartment or something, you can't have a Great Dane or a St. Bernard or one of these Mastiffs.
Makes sense.
Living with you. So he has this giant rescue where he rescues these dogs, and now he also has his own line of dog food, which he developed while learning how to keep these dogs healthy and make them live longer.
Is he still in that great disguise? Does he still wear that 24/7? So that his parents can't even recognize
his Robin mask?
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
No, his costume from the TV series?
Turns out he no longer wears his Robin mask. No. From 45 years ago.
What a good question.
Thank you. Put that in the closet.
He still lives in Gotham City, though, right, Ralph?
Now, that is true. Yes, he does still live in a cave beneath a large home in a fictional town. Anyway, so that was the Halloween weekend, big Halloween weekend, and also, speaking of Halloween, the guy that owns the ship that Natalie Wood drowned on, remember Natalie Wood in 1981, and she drowned, she was on a boat with her husband, Robert Wagner, and Christopher Walken, and the boat, the Splendor, the guy who owns it now is putting it up for sale. Why, you might ask?
Why?
Because Natalie Wood's ghost is haunting him.
Really?
He said he has had several mysterious injuries on the boat where he's just walking along and suddenly he feels like his legs are pulled out from under him and he falls on his boat. Imagine that, falling in a boat, rocking around in the ocean at sea. It must be a ghost. He said he was sleeping in bed and he felt someone sit on the bed.
Okay.
Next to him and move him and then get up off the bed. When he looked up, no one was there. The ghost of Natalie Wood was sitting on his bed.
We're gonna die!
She's a bitch.
He's had priests on board to bless the boat to try to get the spirit to move on, but to no avail. And so he said, finally, he's got to put it up for sale. So if you would like to buy the haunted Natalie Wood death boat, you can contact Skipper Ron Nelson. He will sell it to you. Look, if you want to sell a boat, maybe pull back on the ghost stories.
Yeah.
You're trying to move it. I think he wants a casino or some other museum or something to buy the boat, perhaps, and make it sort of a tourist attraction.
So that's a selling point.
So maybe the selling point may be that the ghost of Natalie Wood is still aboard.
No, thanks.
Come on, it's scary.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus has a new boyfriend. Well, maybe not boyfriend, but a new guy she's boning. According to the UK's Daily Mail tabloid, she was spotted leaving the home of Patrick Schwarzenegger, Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid.
Oh.
Two of them spending lots of quality time together, according to sources. Patrick, by the way, has had a crush on Miley for years. Back in 2011, He did an interview where he said, "My eye is set on Miley." He had a crush on her then, and just now apparently they're getting together. So
she was like 13 that year, wasn't she?
I don't think she was 13, no. 2011, what was that, 3 years ago? So what's she now?
14.
22?
Okay.
So she was 19? So finally he got his wish.
Good Russ, is Patrick the same one that briefly dated Taylor Swift last summer, too?
Yes, that was the one Taylor Swift was obsessed with, and she bought a house so she could be near him.
Oh, that's right.
Remember when she was all creepy? No wonder Bean loves her so much. And speaking of horrible woman Taylor Swift, she has removed all of her music from Spotify. You can no longer get Taylor Swift music on Spotify. She was scorned by Spotify, and like her ex-boyfriends know, you don't do that, because you will pay the price.
But the good news is now you guys are safe to go on Spotify.
That is true. It turns out that her album 1989 was not available on Spotify. It was available only on iTunes and I guess on CD at Walmart, I want to say.
It was all over. It was a wide release.
Anyway, people who use Spotify said, "Hey, we'd like to download this album on Spotify." And they said, no, we can't do that. Taylor Swift won't let us do that. And so they threw Taylor Swift under the bus, and you do not do that to Taylor Swift.
By the way, threw her under the bus. I mean, honestly, if people are coming to your service for that music and they can't find it, you tell them why.
You give them an explanation.
That's not them doing anything wrong.
So Taylor Swift said, "Oh, okay, Spotify, now you can't hear any of my music on your service." So she pulled all of her music off Spotify.
So she took her ball and went home.
That's what she did, yes.
I like the direction this is going.
So she is a bitch.
She's a bitch.
You know who's not a bitch? My beloved British pop star, Katie Melua. I love Katie Melua. Not a big star here in the States, but she has been very popular in the UK for about a decade now. She's just 30 years old, but she has been a singer-songwriter that's had a lot of hits in the UK. I really enjoy her work. Here's a little taste of her singing, by the way, in case you're not familiar with her. She did a great cover of Just Like Heaven.
Show me how you do that trick. Scream, he said, the one that makes me laugh, he said, and threw his arms around my neck. Show me how you do it.
So Katie, this week, heard a rustling sound in her ear. Thought it was strange, ignored it, figured it was, I don't know, water in her ear. It would go away, earwax perhaps. She kept bugging her and bugging her, this strange rustling sound. So she finally went to the doctor and they said, "All right, let's take a look in there. Let's see what..." "You have a spider living in your ear!" Doctor fainted. That's how terrifying it was. So they get a little vacuum cleaner. They vacuumed the spider that was living in her ear out of her head. Put it in a vial and sent it home with her.
Is that the best medicine has?
"Here's your ear, spider. Please enjoy." She said she released it in her garden, so he'll have hopefully more to eat than her brains. And she said what the problem was. She was trying to block out sound on a flight, so she grabbed some old ear monitors out of a drawer that she had used in concert. You know, and those are like the full ones that fit inside the entire ear
canal.
Oh,
that are fitted to her specifically?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she said maybe there was a spider in the closet or in the drawer that climbed up inside one of those ear monitors. And she had to put it on to sleep on the plane, you know, to block out the noise. And apparently the spider crawled out of the ear monitor into her ear canal and just set up shop.
That is gross.
And so she was surprised as anyone when they pulled a giant spider out of her ear. It was about the size of a VW bus.
What?
It was about the size of a Volkswagen bus.
That doesn't seem likely.
Doctor said she should be fine. Oh, no. Wait a minute. It laid eggs!
Oh, God. Hey,
why is there so much music going on?
That was not as scary, is it?
Not at all. Why don't you delete that?
All right.
Dumb question, you guys. Can a spider do any kind of damage to you if it sets up shop in your ear?
Yes. Ear rape?
I mean, I can see it could be annoying. I just wondered, can it hurt you?
I don't think so.
What if there's an egg sac in your ear canal?
That is not what you want.
And then you get 4,000 baby spiders bursting out of the egg sac. Feasting.
penetrate your cerebral cortex until all of your motor functions have been dissolved. You end up just soiling your own pans with your own feces and urine, no longer capable of controlling your bodily functions. Saliva pouring from your lips because you can no longer swallow.
All right, that's it. I'm out.
Oh.
Sounds like you've already written the sequel to Lavalangela.
That's right. She had a Lavalangela living in her ear. She let the spider go. I would have tortured the spider. I would have sent pieces of the spider back to the spider's family. Now that I had it. You demanded some sort of spider ransom.
In little tiny suitcases, they would have opened them up one by one.
Oh, no, it's one of his eight eyes. We can expect eight more suitcases. Just give them what they want.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 62. Phil Sims is 60. Dennis Miller is 61 years old today. Tim McElrath from Rise Against the Machine. Singer guitarist for that band.
I think maybe Rise just Against. Rise Against.
What did I say? Rise Against the Machine?
Uh-huh.
That's funnier. He's 36 years old. Colin Kaepernick. San Francisco 49er quarterback. He is 27 years old today. Did have a little fumble.
Bit of an oops.
A little fumble there on the...
Bad timing on that ball being slippery. Line.
And reality star Kendall Jenner is 19 years old. I wish she'd have a spider living up inside her. You know, in her ear.
Sure. Of course that's what you mean. I was just convinced you named your penis the spider. That's all.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show from the LA Galaxy, we have Omar Gonzalez talking about the playoffs. We have Would You Like to Take That Back on tomorrow morning's show. We have Ray Romano on the show tomorrow.
Oh, I don't want a spider living in my ear, Deborah.
And we also have your tickets to our secret Foo Fighters show. So that's coming up tomorrow.